Can I be honest with you right at the outset of the show, right at the very beginning of the show?
Do you usually lie at the beginning of the show?
Normally, I will tell a small fib at the beginning of every show, but today I'm just going to say it point blank. I don't know if I'm ready to live in a world that Jay Levine is not a part of.
It goes back to grade school days for me.
Jay Levine has been a mainstay of Chicago television. Steve just reported in the news that Jay Levine is no longer going to be a reporter at Channel 2.
Well, that's what it looks like. He just tweeted out, after 42 years, it's time to shift gears. So
no, it isn't.
It is not. We need Jay Levine.
Marianne Childers,
now.
When did she retire?
Oh, boy.
Did she retire? Because aren't they married?
Yeah, they're married.
Because I haven't seen her in a long while either. Maybe he wants to spend some time with her.
Poor Marianne.
Oh, zing. I love Jay Levine.
It's impossible not to love Jay Levine. He's so good.
How long has he been on the air?
42 years, he tweeted, yeah.
Good God, y'all.
How about that? Do you remember? I told this to Steve this morning, and Steve didn't remember it, but I remember it vividly. He had a show on Friday nights on Channel 7, a talk show, a one-hour talk show.
I do remember that.
And the one episode in particular, you can figure out why I remember it, was his guest was Farrah Fawcett. And that was right at the peak of her popularity when Charlie's Angels.
The poster?
Well, yeah, it was, yeah. It might not have, she may not have been a guest. I think he may have just had her poster propped up on a chair.
Where it spelled out sex in the curls
in her
of
hair.
Her hair.
It subliminally,
did?
Yeah.
That's what they say. But
It really did.
We're going to print that up and you're going to show it. You're going
to
outline it.
Never got to her hair.
It's.
I know, because it must have been cold in that room when they were shooting that picture of her in her red
somewhere
tank.
In Antarctica.
Tank
my
bathing suit.
Mike had it up in his room. I can still see it
on
clearly.
On the ceiling?
No.
That's where Bill had it.
Yes, I did. My whole ceiling was patterned with it.
You got it blown up before there was even Kinko's.
I invented Kinko's just so that poster could be larger.
Actually, her poster inspired Kinko's.
I just keep thinking of her,
How did this happen?
And the way she passed away, you'd never have expected that in a million years.
It's awful.
Poor Farrah.
Yep. But Jay Levine, on one particular episode of his show, and I don't remember the name of his show, and that's what hurts me, because I should sure remember the name of it. But for about a year, he had a Friday talk show late night. I want to say like at 10:30 or 11 o'clock on Friday on Channel 7. And it was great. It was really good. He had on like newsmakers or stars from different venues. He was what a good job he did. So I don't want him to retire, Steve. Talk to him.
I'll give
convince
him a call.
Him, yeah. Convince him to change his mind. He looked like Steve Martin for a while, didn't he?
He did.
Briefly.
He had the same Steve Martin face.
He was he was one of those guys who came in, was really known for his feistiness at Channel 7.
Yeah.
And he was attacked by a protester on live TV. I remember that, too.
I still regret that.
Was that you, Steve?
President Obama returned to Chicago. There was a fundraiser held at Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Yeah.
And during a live report, a protester attacked Jay Levine. I remember seeing that. And Jay took a swing at the protester to defend himself. Yeah.
Why don't I remember that? It seemed to me like every time something like that would happen, it was John Coughlin who was involved. It was usually John Coughlin doing a report, and there would be some sort of a fracas that would break out in or around him. Do you remember that? He always seemed to be the guy that was most susceptible.
Who did you say?
John Coughlin.
Yeah, or Bulldog Drummond, too.
John Drummond.
Yeah.
That's the guy I'm thinking. John Drummond was the guy.
Coughlin
would
just get hit by warm fronts.
Right. It was John Drummond. It was not John Coughlin. You're right. Local newscasters for 300, Alex. The answer is
Fahey Flynn.
Hugh Hill.
Oh my God.
The guy. Do you remember Art Patak?
Sure. Yes.
Remember that
Times
guy?
Writer.
Boy, was he good? Because he was like your grumbly uncle. Like he'd report on a story, and then like midway through, he'd just go yeah, and that'd be the end of it.
Can I tell you my favorite Hugh Hill story?
Yeah.
So he's still on the street when I was on the street in the late '80s, I guess, and. This was before Navy Pier was rehabbed. It just was this big shell, but they would have events at the end of the pier, sometimes political events. Well, you couldn't drive on the pier. So I parked my WGN car at the, foot of the pier and with the rats, and I'm walking down the pier, and here comes Hugh Hill in this Channel 7 car, right in the middle of Navy Pier, drives right by me, gets about 30 feet beyond me, stops, backs up, and he looks at me. And he rolls down the window. He's like, get in the car.
Really?
And I get in the car. He goes, they would have let you drive here. He goes, well, No, they'd let me drive.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I loved Hugh Hill.
Is he still around? Do we still have him? He's no longer with us?
No.
Oh, man, he was good.
He was an institution.
Another one
guy.
Of those life guys yes. who's just on TV for your whole life.
John Drury.
John Drury was a good guy.
Here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, and boy, Channel 7, I have to admit, had a beautiful blue backdrop, and it looked so good.
On John Drury?
Yeah, and Fahey Flynn's white hair.
And bow tie.
Yeah.
He's one of the only guys, I believe, who successfully pulled off the bow tie
look. Orville Redenbacher.
Orville Redenbacher, Governor Paul, or Senator Paul Simon, and Fahey Flynn. Those would be your three.
And who's the
maybe
guy?
Maybe Pee Wee Herman, maybe.
Isn't the, not Anderson Cooper. Isn't there somebody who, like that, Shepard or something?
There was, who was the guy? There was a younger guy that wore a bow tie for a while, and then somebody higher up at the network suggested that not happen anymore. I can't think of his name.
Speaking of not, you know, someone at the network saying it shouldn't happen again, there's a story that you pointed out this morning that I am in total disbelief.
Let me see if I can find it. Over at Fox, they have put out an edict saying that from now on...
Edict. You meathead.
Stifle edict. They have said now over at Channel 32, over at Fox 32...
This is local, right?
This is local, Channel 32... That the women who are on air now at Channel 32, if they're doing a report outside in the winter, may no longer wear hats. That it's distracting for a woman on television to wear a hat. If you're a guy at Channel 32, feel free to put a hat on. You can continue to wear a hat. But if you're a woman, you may not wear a hat as of now.
Are high-heeled boots okay?
Yes.
Yes. I know we just had a year. We ripped off a year. What year is this?
This would be 2016 right now.
This is unacceptable. This is, if you want to go to robertfeeder.com, Fox 32 producer, hats off to women of Good Day Chicago.
Yep.
I cannot believe it. They cannot wear hats during their outdoor live shots this winter.
It's too distracting. You know, if you're watching this and if you're watching Channel 32 and you see a woman in a hat on outside, you won't know what to make of it. You'd panic. I would.
Do you know that Russian vodka hat made Amy Jacobson popular? She had that giant fur hat. You know what I'm talking about?
It looked like when Amy was on doing reports, like it was live from the Kremlin, even though it wasn't. It was local. But
she
Amy
should have had that on in the southwest suburbs one summer day.
With the bikini, that would have looked stupid. Dan Salamone, executive producer at Fox-owned WFLD Channel 32, told the women this week who report on Good Day Chicago not to wear hats during their outdoor live shots.
Yep.
Salamone's directive, which he did not issue to male reporters, said the women would, quote, look a lot better without hats and should go without them from now on.
Yes.
He said he'd be willing to make an exception if it's, say, 20 below zero.
Oh, that's the cutoff on wearing a hat for a lady at Channel 32? 20 below zero, please put a hat on. 19 below zero, uh-uh. Can't have a hat on, lady. Sorry.
This is ridiculous.
I know it is. I know it is.
They make plenty of women's hats that look very good on women.
Absolutely.
God, that is so stupid. Can they wear coats?
Yeah, I think he's okay with the coat. I think he's okay with the coat. And it's functional. When it's, you know how cold it gets in this city. It gets, let's say it's zero, but then you've got that wind chill factor that's making it feel like it's 15 or 20 below.
20 below, you're okay.
And when you go out and you do these shots, you're not out there just because you see them on television for a minute. Doesn't mean they're only on your screen for a minute. They're out there for a good long time setting that shot up. You got to put a hat on.
And umbrellas, as long as it's one of those see-through bubble ones,
right.
Those are okay.
And it's fine.
Right.
This for the ladies only.
Is this not completely sexist?
It couldn't be more sexist.
Why would he put his name to that memo or that edict?
He didn't think that it would get out. He just thought it would be in-house only.
Right.
He didn't think that Rob Feeder would find it somehow. Somebody got it to Rob.
But he's not in an industry based on leaks from other people.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Never occurred to him.
That I cannot for the life of me accept that.
I know,
it's
awful.
Ridiculous.
It's awful. All right, we have a big show for you today. If you want to jump in, we want you to at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Neither of us wearing. Oh, I'm wearing a hat.
Yeah, you're wearing a hat.
I just heard from Channel 32. They want me to take it off.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna.
Girls can't wear
I'm
the
not
hats.
Wear it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got confused.
Quit it. Stick around. It's us. It's WGN too.
I was thinking we should have come back in with hats off to Roy Harper. A Zeppelin tune.
Hats off to Roy Harper would have been nice. This song, extremely appropriate. Why?
You can dance if you want to.
Yes.
Men without hats.
Men without hats.
But it's women without hats.
I know. They've got to redo this song. I'll talk to the guys over at Men Without Hats.
Oh, my God. I loved this song.
This was the techno-pop era that isn't as popular anymore.
You almost sounded like this, Wendy. Almost.
Would you agree with me, Steve? It's gone down in popularity just a notch.
It has. I think the Little River Band killed it.
Yep.
Didn't you used to go in the Wurlitzer store and play that little keyboard part?
Sir, we're going to have to ask you to stop playing Men Without Hats in the Wurlitzer store.
And then we'll have to close our doors because no one comes to a mall to buy an organ.
I know. It's terrible.
Fox 32 producer, hats off to women of Good Day Chicago. This according to Robert Feeder at robertfeeder.com. The executive producer of the Good Day Chicago show there on WFLD Channel 32, Dan Salamone, has said that... women should not wear hats. His quote is, women would look a lot better without hats and should go without them from now on. He'd be willing to make an exception, he said, if it's 20 below zero.
See, I like that he throws that in. Hey, ladies. I'm willing to work with you. If it's 20 below, by all means, put on a hat. But I'm not on an 18 degree below zero day, I'm not going to let you have a hat on.
And unbutton one more button, will
you? Yeah, that looks good. Whoop, drop my pencil.
You know,
celebrity voice impersonated.
Do you know how this came to light?
No.
Jessica Donofrio, who works for WLS Channel 7, ABC owned, tweeted, one local TV station is telling its reporters not to wear hats during the winter months, hashtag for crying out loud. She followed it with, it sure isn't my station.
Yes. That narrows it down a little bit.
And then Rob Feeder did his work. And
this is
2016, am I right?
You can't do this. Yeah, it's on the calendar.
Am I right?
It's on my two-case calendar.
All right. Is this Demetria?
Yes, it is.
Thanks for calling in. Can you even believe this?
Of course not. However, I would say there are a couple of possibilities here. My proposal... number one is that the ladies have a babushka revolution. Will they wear the classic giant rose from Poland, or will they wear a snappy geometric from Iran? Who knows? But they think of all of the cool things that would happen. Plus, when I was little, all the ladies and little girls wore babushkas because we didn't have hats that would stay on our heads in the 60s. The wind would blow them off. The other possibility would be, fine, if the ladies can't wear hats, then the men can't wear pants. They can
wear
athletic shorts and gym shoes and stand out there in the blowing wind with the snow, and they can look ever so manly while the ladies are forced to be feminine for their boss.
How about that?
Yeah, well, anyway, thank you for letting me sound off on that. Just another sign that because someone is a boss, it doesn't mean that they're smart.
Ah, how about that? Thanks,
Demetria. I love you, Demetria. You should call us every day when you come up with this little rant.
Oh, well, I could have a rant a day for you, but then, you know, you guys would get tired of it. And besides, I like hearing all the other people calling in, too.
Well, thank you, Demetria. We appreciate your contribution.
Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Bill.
Take care.
Oh, I love her.
It seemed like my great aunts always wore the babushka, and that should be the name of a Chicago sports team. The Chicago Babushkas just has a good sound to it, doesn't
it? I like
it?
Babushka Revolution. I think that
better.
Should be a dance club.
It's way better. Right.
Yeah, my grandmother didn't really wear it too much.
No?
I know. I grew up in Brookfield and very close to Berwyn.
Mm-hmm.
They wore a lot of that.
Oh, that's their chief export is the babushka.
And the
Berwyn.
Hobie.
Yeah, right. That's what
it's a mushroom. Who started calling it a hobie?
I don't get that either.
And Bronwyn wants to add to the conversation. Hey, Bronwyn.
Hey, I think women should wear coats with hoods.
Yes.
With no hats.
Cover them up.
Considered a hat, right?
You know he is not, Dan Salamone is not going to let them put the hood up.
This is just unbelievable that they would like put up with this, you know?
Well, somebody obviously at the station, and we tried to trace it a little bit, was fed up with this sort of thing, and that's why the leak to Rob Feeder, that's why we're all talking about it. But yeah, that's
good.
Just absurd. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I cannot believe
this. 20
below? Yeah, that's the exception.
That's the cutoff, yeah.
What if it's 19 below?
You won't allow it.
Yeah, well,
you get fired.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Bronwyn. It's like we're going back in time. I mean, seriously. And I know that, you know, we look at the people giving the news, the anchors.
Right.
They're attractive people because we're there to look at them.
Right.
If you have, like, the Elephant Man doing a report, I don't know.
Channel 5 had John Merrick, the Elephant Man, for a number of years do reports, and he was not well accepted. Sadly, we learned a lot from that experiment.
I know looks mean stuff in this business, but right. I mean, seriously?
I am not an animal. I am a Channel 5 reporter. That's what he used to end every report with. He would say that, and it didn't go well.
I can't believe that's the only line I remember and the only line you remember that play.
I know.
I was the Elephant Man in high school.
Did you play out the Elephant Man?
Right.
Oh, really?
I thought you were my savior. Yeah, I did.
Oh, and you don't remember any more lines?
I thought you were my savior. Yeah, no, that's just a few.
I would pay handsomely for a DVD of that performance, Steve. I would love to see that.
Ironically, like you're saying handsomely?
Handsomely.
For the Elephant Man?
It was a speech competition, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you did it for that?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I would have loved to have seen that.
I would change into form during the monologue.
Did you go to the School for Performing Arts?
I went to the state championship, baby.
Not
in
bad.
Manoka?
Mantino.
Oh, sorry.
I was Bishop McNamara.
Not bad, Steve. Congratulations.
We're still...
I know what our next Christmas play is.
All right, Elephant Manger.
Yeah, the Elephant Manger. That would be great. All right, a quick break, some news, and then a lot more show. It's us, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. Hi, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy. You can call in. You can text in 312-981-7200.
Happy Humper.
Happy Humper, as people say.
Kids back to school today. That was pretty great.
Are your kids in school? Are they finally back?
Yeah, and a great way to celebrate. Dylan set his alarm at 6:30, going back to the seventh grade. And he woke Jim up and said, for my first day back, I'd like to go out to breakfast.
How about that? Good
I liked the enthusiasm.
Yes. That's
so they
nice.
Did breakfast, and Michael was actually on time today. It was a good day.
Everything's good. I want to point out a guy who's an absolute loon, if I could. Do we have time for me to point out a man who's an absolute loon?
Yes.
There's a guy named James Tracy, and he was in the news about a year ago. I don't know if people will remember this. It was a story. You know how every once in a while there are stories that I always call supernova stories, which means they burn very fast and furious, and then for some reason after 2 or 3 days you just don't hear anything else about the story at all?
Thanks, Oasis.
James, you're welcome. James Tracy would be a perfect example of this.
I didn't remember this story.
This, as it was happening, and I'll refresh everybody's memory, trust me, it's coming. As this was happening, I kept trying to find out what was wrong with this guy, James Tracy. And I still don't know what's wrong with him, but the payoff finally happened. I'll explain. James Tracy was a communications professor at a Florida school, the Florida Atlantic University. He maintained that Sandy Hook didn't happen, that it was a staged event to scare people. And he was very adamant about this, so much so that he got into fights with some of the parents.
Of course he did, because that's ludicrous.
No.
And I don't mean the rapper.
I know. Now, please, here's a little background, not on James Tracy, but about the art of not believing in things. There's always been people, you take the event, whether it was the Kennedy assassination or the moon landing or the Twin Towers, you pick the event. There's always a handful of people who, for whatever reason, will go out of their way to tell you that it's all a conspiracy. It never happened.
9/11, the government was behind it.
You know how many people?
Charlie
Sheen.
How can they say that with a straight face?
I can't figure it out either.
And Charlie Sheen, really, he believes it like that, like I'm supposed to be surprised.
Charlie Sheen was adamant. He used to go on quite often and explain how the way the events took place couldn't have happened quite the way that they did.
Who died and made him genius?
I don't know. But James Tracy upset a lot of people, and rightfully so. I mean, picture for a second, if you would, losing somebody like one of your own children in Sandy Hook, and then have a man who's supposed to be a fairly learned professor at a school explaining how it didn't happen, even though you know it happened because you just lost your kid.
Let me just say this one part of it. Lenny and Veronique Posner were parents of a child that was killed in the 2012 Sandy Hook school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. And they claimed recently that this Tracy dude had started a harassment campaign against them. Tracy had sent them a certified letter demanding proof of their parentage.
Right.
He called them alleged parents on his blog and accused them of fabricating their son's death certificate to cash in on Sandy Hook.
How about that?
He is a terrible
How
man.
How about that? So when all this first took place, there were plenty of people who suggested that possibly James Tracy should not be teaching kids in a college setting, that maybe somebody...
So he was able to keep his job after these allegations?
Until just this week. He was finally let go from his post at Florida Atlantic University, where he has been serving as a communications professor.
Over 3 years later?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shame on the Florida Atlantic University for not getting rid of him before this.
Absolutely. Now, I've asked you, and I know everybody else has not had the opportunity to do this, but I said, do me a favor, on your computer, call up a picture or two of this man, James Tracy, because he has my face. If you look at this guy's face, his face and mine are almost identical. Do you see it?
Yeah, he does kind of look
like
you.
He stole my face, and he's nuts. I got to get a new face now.
Call John Travolta. He was in that movie Face Off. Right. It works.
I'll have Nicolas Cage's face the next time you see me. And if I work for Fox, I won't be able to wear this hat anymore. So get a good look at that, too.
All right. It's pretty scary because when you said, you know, call up his picture on the old Googler.
Right.
I did. And I said, oh, his hair is bad.
Yeah, he's got awful hair, but he also has my face. Exactly.
But everything. I didn't notice that at first. But now, oh, my God.
Yeah, that is my face. So, and he's doing,
I got to go home. I can't be here with you.
It's disturbing, isn't it? It's awful.
He has your face.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, especially this picture. We have to post that.
Oh, every picture of him. You couldn't look more. I don't even look as much like me as he does.
Kevin, do you see the resemblance?
Yeah, slightly. He's a little more dweeby looking than Bill, I think.
But. Are you saying that Thanks. Bill is dweeby looking,
That's
but this
less
guy's more dweeby?
Compliment I've ever received. Thank
Bill
you, Kevin.
Bill is less dweeby looking than him.
That's better.
It's not better. It's still dweeby looking.
You know what, though? It's the eyes. It's the eyes and the eyebrows.
The eyebrows.
That's what really...
The bone structure, the nose, the like everything about... Like, as I was reading the story today, I go, well, they accidentally put a picture of me by this guy. That's not going to be good for either one of us. But it is.
I'm freaked out a little bit.
That guy looks just like me.
Not just, but there is a very... He could definitely... He looks more like you than your brother looks like you.
Way more.
He looks like your twin.
Yeah, I know. Ugh.
All right, I can't look at you.
Why kind of... If somebody was going to look like me, why couldn't it be some heroic guy? Or a sports... Like a guy from the Blackhawks. Why couldn't Artemi Panarin look like me? This guy looks like me. That's not good. All right. That aside for just a second, if you can separate the two, because I can't. Because I, like, the whole time I'm reading the story this morning, I keep looking up at the picture and go, just please look less like me during the rest of the story, please.
All right. I got to get some pictures. We'll do a side by side comparison. That'll
can we
me
put it on Facebook?
Do, yeah.
It's disturbing how much this man looks like me. And like I said, the fact that he's an absolute 100% certified loon doesn't make it any better. Although he could be saying the same about me.
You're a loon, but in a different way.
Right.
You don't mean to hurt people.
Right. I'm a friendlier loon.
Look at this picture.
Every picture of him. If you put a Google search and just go, you'll see 50 pictures of him, and in every one, he looks like me.
All right, I got to do a little photoshopping, and you know how that worked when the Toastmaster General was in.
Didn't work good.
I'll try.
But again, finally, here's a quick, I'll just give you a quick breakdown on the story. James Tracy, the Florida Atlantic University communications professor who claimed that Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre was fake and publicly quarreled with the parents of one of the slain children. By the way, great timing on that, Mr. Tracy. Right after somebody loses their kid in a tragic, horrific event, the first thing you want to do is call them out and say that they're lying. That's the best thing you could possibly do. Was officially fired on Tuesday. That's just yesterday. Florida Atlantic, which is based in Boca Raton, Florida, said in a brief statement on Tuesday evening that it had served Tracy a notice of termination. His last day will be January the 8th. Tracy had tenure and was notified on December 16th that the university proposed to fire him. Now, I have friends and family members that are teachers, and I know the good and the bad of tenure. This would be a perfect example of why sometimes in the world of education, tenure is bad. This is a guy who proved himself to be an uncertified, just as goofy as you could possibly be, and yet the school, because of tenure, wasn't allowed to terminate him.
And hurtful and hateful.
Awful.
I mean, everyone's going to say, okay, let's look into this, and we should look into it.
Yeah.
But the hatred
right.
and the
Right.
That's cold.
To fight with parents who lost their kid at this awful event and say that they
faking
were lying.
Their death
trying to cash in on it.
God.
Sure, that's exactly what those parents were doing. They were trying to figure out a way to buck the system and get a couple of dollars out of the government. That's what was going on. Sure. Unbelievable, right? And stop looking like me. As a side note, please stop looking like me. All right, a quick break. More show ahead. We're 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right. By 11 o'clock, we will have posted you and your twin on our Facebook page because my photoshopping is getting much better.
Why couldn't it be somebody way, way cooler that looks like me? Why couldn't it be Channing Tatum that looks like me?
Dude, I get James Spader or the Fat Judd.
All right, that's not good either. James Spader's good.
Not, I'm a woman.
All right, that's not so good.
Tom Petty sometimes. Without mascara, that's what I look like. A combination of, I look like James Spader and Tom Petty's love child.
Well, when you say it that way, it does not sound good. This weekend, another person, now this has been a long time, but I used to get, people would say to me all the time, are you related to Dana Carvey? You look a lot like Dana Carvey. And I didn't get it for a long time. And then this weekend, I was in a tennis match, and one of the guys I was playing in doubles said, I know you get this all the time, but you look just like Dana Carvey. But I don't think I do, do I?
Yeah.
Do I? Yeah.
A younger, hipper version.
Oh. Take that, Dana Carvey. Slam.
What did Kevin say when...
that I don't look as dweeby. Yeah.
Less dweeby.
Less dweeby than this guy.
Didn't you today. Work with a guy named Les
Less dweeby?
Less dweeby. At the light at
light.
Night or something?
Less dweeby used to do...
Turn him on.
His suggestion was we got to start playing Christmas music the day after Christmas, and they liked that idea. They almost went with that.
Can I tell you I miss the Christmas music?
Do you? Do you know what? At Old Orchard, because we went the day after Christmas, and then we went again 3 days after Christmas, because both my daughter's birthdays, Reese and Kylie's, are December 28th, and then Terry's is on New Year's Day, so we still had shopping to do after Christmas. I don't remember this ever being a thing. But after Christmas at the shopping center, they were still playing Christmas music as though Christmas had not happened yet.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, Christmas music is like a freight train. It doesn't stop instantly.
It doesn't.
It's got to slow down.
But in years past, Steve, don't you remember, like, it used to seem as of Christmas Day,
right.
You didn't hear it. People were like, all right, Christmas is over. No more Christmas music. But not the case at Old Orchard. They were still playing it very proudly just days after.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I like it.
I guess I guess in their mind, it's still stimulating sales. It's making you think.
Well, and you're returning Christmas presents.
Yeah.
The dogs are there, so might as well give them Pavlov.
Right.
Right.
Start drooling. Yep. That's what it is. That's exactly it.
I found a picture of you and Judy Pylak.
On vacation together? We're supposed to get those erased from the internet.
No, you were playing a softball tournament, and I'm not quite finished, but I put his face in Judy, so now Judy Pylak kind of looks like that James Tracy guy.
In this picture, and I know people can't see it yet, but
we'll put it on our Facebook page when I'm finished.
The combination of this James Tracy guy and Judy looks like a troll doll gone mad, doesn't it?
Don't.
Just looks like an insane...
Judy is going to call and punch you through the phone.
Won't be the first time. I'm all right with that. All right, so we will put those comparison photographs up at our website. Well, not at our website, at YouTube. Not at YouTube. What's the website on Facebook that people go
Facebook.
To? Facebook, is that what it's called?
And, you know, people are saying that Facebook is making us unhappy.
Why is Facebook making us unhappy?
Well, because we spend too much time there. I got to find that story. I'm not very organized
today. Have
you cut
back on it tremendously?
Totally.
I really have. Like, I used to be on there every day at some point, and now I'll sometimes go a week without being on it, and I'm fine.
I got to tell you, and I answered some people. People have been complaining on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, and I am responding more than I'm posting these
days.
Why
are they complaining?
They're complaining about a guest we had on yesterday who said something on the air that was...
The writer for The New Yorker that we had on. All right.
He referred to a young Rahm Emanuel in his hairstyle.
Right.
And that bothered some people. It kind of bothered me. I wasn't sure what to do with it.
Can I say, I guess to...
I wouldn't say it, but
you don't
want to
say it?
You can do what you want.
All right. There is a term.
It's not Afro, but it's somebody who is of the Jewish religion.
If you're Jewish and you have a fro, there is a phrase that is Jew-fro. J-E-W-F-R-O. And some people find the phrase offensive, and some people do not find the phrase offensive. And it sometimes fits under that guise, like the N-word, where if a person who is African-American says it, people go, well, I guess if anyone can say it, it's that guy or that girl. And some people have that same belief with the phrase Jufro.
See, I'm uncomfortable hearing it.
It doesn't.
You're half Jewish. Are you half bothered?
I'm half bothered by it, and the other half is not. I am not bothered by the phrase at all, but I know a lot of people who are.
Okay, so I responded to some people that, you know, also we had a woman on who was talking about the DARE program is not very successful and they've lost funding.
Right.
There was a research study that she was involved in that I would have liked to hear more about the results of the research.
Right.
And people were, you know, commenting saying, you know, Wendy, all you do is talk about your kids. Well, I know my kids. If I knew that Facebook person's kids, I'd talk about their kids too.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we just do the best as we can to be parents and hope it's right.
Sure.
So I've been responding to people, but as it comes to posting things.
Not as often as you used to?
No, but we have an advantage. We are lucky.
Show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. Everybody had been saying for the last couple of years, as cool as Facebook was, as soon as your parents got on it, it stopped being cool. So I guess there's something to that, I guess.
Your dad's on it?
I don't think he is. I don't think he is. He might be. I don't know.
I think he is, and I think he's my friend, but not yours.
It's possible.
He wouldn't friend you.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a crazy world, and, you know, everybody is entitled to an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
However, the social media craze is giving people more power with that, and then look what happens in Oregon. And look what happens everywhere else. It's like social media gives some crazy people more power.
So, yeah, there's times where it does. There's absolutely times where it does. A break coming, and then Steve with the news, and then we have plenty more for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, you know who stopped by to say hello?
Tell me.
Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD.
Hello.
It's been so long.
We've not seen you guys in a long time. How are you?
No,
since like last year.
The four of us have been together. It's like Thanksgiving-ish.
Go ahead, Bill. You haven't seen them since the new year changed.
I'm not going to say it. It's too easy. It's too easy. I can't do it.
He wishes you luck in the upcoming new year.
Mm.
I do, but I'm not allowed to say it. I got castigated for that.
Oh, no.
Yep.
You should record like just a spot for that. Like, better, just push a button and it says, like,
right.
And Bill wishes you luck.
Better than a different word that starts with cast.
Yeah. He confused me.
Yesterday, as I was saying goodbye to a guest that Wendy and I were speaking with, I wished him a good luck in the new year, and Wendy thought that was very funny, and then I wished everybody on the show good luck in the new year.
There's nothing wrong with good luck, Bill.
Nope.
Technically, it's already this year, so now are you wishing me luck in 2017?
I guess that was part of the... Is that part of the... I don't know. Good luck for the rest of the decade.
Whatever works for you.
Right.
Hey, so actually, while we're sort of on the topic of the new year, I closed out last year with a really unpleasant experience.
What happened, Hannah? Why?
Well, here, let me start with this little public service announcement. If there is food in your fridge that you are surprised to find there, don't eat it.
Yeah, who would eat it? Why did you eat it? And
what
was it?
Because pie. That's all I have to say. Pie. I went in the fridge to get something slightly healthy. And you know I'm the queen of labeling everything. I Sharpie marker all the dates.
I was going to say, how did this slip past security?
Because I didn't put the pie away. And all of a sudden I was like, pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
And I ate a piece and I wished that I had not for the next 2 days.
What's the shelf life on something like that?
Less than a week, apparently.
It's got to be less than a week.
Yeah.
Did you get pretty sick from this?
Super sick.
You did.
I go 3 to 5 days for your ballpark figure. And
I'm in the same range.
Chicken or seafood, definitely 3 at the most.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with some of those, let's say a stew, and we're going to talk about soup later because it's soup month, you can heat them to a point where you would kill what was in it.
That's an excellent point.
Right.
Yeah, pie,
really?
Which is custard-based, not so
doesn't
much.
Hold up.
No. So don't do that.
So this
people.
Gave you, without getting too graphic,
I
some sort of
poisoning.
Stomach disorder.
I had
yeah.
food poisoning and it was horrific.
Oh, no.
It was bad enough to teach me not to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The decision making process is tough. I just rationalize, number one, and it's a couple different factors, how much I want it.
Right.
And how difficult it would be to replace it.
Like, yeah, go get another pie.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's a pumpkin pie that, let's say, your mom made and that's not going to happen till next year, this slides the scale up towards just seize the day, right?
Yeah, this was December 30th, and so it was a Christmas Eve pie. So do the math; that's a whole week.
Have you ever found something there you just can't identify? You go, it's kind of like lasagna, but it's not quite like lasagna. I don't know what this is.
The other day in the freezer, and I believe I think it is in fact lasagna that Steve just wrapped up in Saran and stuck
months
in the freezer.
Ago.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think it was also Christmas Eve, but it's in the freezer, so that's okay. And you can heat it to the point where some of that is negligible.
Is the rest of the family on board with the labeling and dating, or are they in need for
obviously
like a training
not.
Refresher?
Just you?
Obviously not. But yeah, it really did turn into a, oh, shoot, that was bad.
Do you know what my mom used to do? They had every year there was an annual business trip that my parents took. At least they told us it was a business trip. We just didn't see them for months at a time. I don't know where they went. They would go away for a week.
Vegas.
And my mom would pre-make food for my brother and myself to last us the week. So she would label it.
She was a saint.
She was a saint. She would label it not just the food that it was, but the day that she would suggest that we would also eat that food.
Oh. So and was it frozen or just in the fridge?
Some of it in the refrigerator, some of it in the freezer. But now looking back, I wonder, because like I said, it was a week's worth of food. Mm-hmm. And there were some sandwiches that I'm not sure should have lasted a whole week in the refrigerator. There were certain things she made that I don't know if a week is a good idea on this.
Well, I mean, you're here to talk about it,
right.
So it wasn't all that bad.
Well, they made us sign all sort of release forms every year before they would leave.
Gotcha.
Yeah, just in case there were
and
legal
and then one more right here.
Right, right. All right, there's several things to discuss with both of you about the world of food. Number one of them is one of your favorite foods, I know for a fact, and that would be soup.
Soup. It is soup month. January
I love
is
soup.
Happy soup month, everybody.
Is
have
fantastic.
A happy and safe soup
and
month.
And apparently records have them making soup back into the 1300s.
Well, anything they would just
which,
like pour some water
eat,
on it
would get food poisoning.
Yeah,
they found an animal and they poured water on it and they had soup all of a sudden.
What will make it softer? How about
water? All right, that would be good.
No, around 1300 is the first known recorded recipes of soup.
Wait a minute. Seriously. Wait, so Hannah said this guy with like a chisel and a stone. Wait a minute, hold on. Everybody holds it. Let me get this.
Right, a little bit of broth, some celery, some onions.
What,
we got something.
What are your favorite types of soups, though?
Well, the lobster bisque is always good.
Right. That's a
too rich.
Is cream, that too rich for you?
For you?
Yeah. Clam
like,
chowder?
That's rich.
Also cream based.
Also too rich.
Yeah.
Right?
I like the chicken noodle, the go beef ahead. Barley.
So you like a broth based soup?
Yeah, but I do like a cream of chicken with wild rice.
Also. Okay.
Can I go continental on you? Wonton. Wow. Some
look
wontons.
At you guys. This is the team photos of some of the best soups of
aren't
all
they
time.
Good? Yeah.
And look at how they span the globe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? You're taking a world tour in a bowl right there.
That would be the name of a book we should write together.
That's got James Beard Award winning winner written all over
why
it.
Why is this month soup month and not the other 11?
Well, because it is the, you know, it's the most comforting month that you would need soup.
Is
right?
it?
Because everybody just holes up in their house during January.
After
it's
Christmas.
Cold. Right.
And you've eaten a ton during the holiday, so soup makes you feel like you're not stuffing yourself, unless you take a half a loaf of Italian bread and dip it
pop
in
it
there.
In there.
And they've also done a study, and this is completely legitimate, where they fed people the same food, but one was served in a meal form.
Yeah.
And one was served blended up in a soup form.
Yeah.
And those people who ate the soup form were actually fuller longer.
Is that right? Why?
Yeah.
So it's all in the presentation, I'm guessing?
It's in the presentation, but I mean, essentially what they did is they took two groups of military troops and fed
hostages.
Them
hostages were there, yeah.
No, but fed it to them like, you know, a veg and a protein and then the same amount of fluid.
Yeah.
So they had the water that would be the base for the soup and then also served it to them in the same capacity, just as a soup.
That's interesting.
It your body processes it differently.
I'm guessing just the process of eating soup, you just ingest some extra oxygen, you know, some air, some whatever takes
right.
up some space. Plus just the nature of what it is makes it, you can't really wolf down
no.
some soup. So that, and they, you know, you get fuller faster than I guess your brain is able to understand that.
Right.
And if the meal takes a little bit longer, then I think you'll be less full. I think it's great.
For some reason, my brain won't accept drinking it like in a cup. Like no. If I have a spoon involved, I could do it all day long. But just to drink it like it's a beverage, I can't do it.
You know, that makes it like it's a savory beverage. And yeah. It's weird. There's a restaurant in the city. There's several locations. And one of their things is like a sipping broth. You know, if you're sick, you can go in and get some broth. And I've never really been able to get behind it.
That doesn't work.
Like, yeah, I don't need it out of styrofoam. Nope. Just give me a spoon.
On the WGN Plus for our Flavor HD stuff, some of the things, especially in honor of Soup Month, we're going to be doing, Hannah and I are going to be doing some more interviews and some things about specifically soup is going to be one of the first things that we could do. So if people have a favorite soup, info@flavorhd.com. You guys have named off some soups that I think everybody likes and has always liked. One of the things that I thought was kind of interesting as I was contemplating the topic was soups that I hated. As a kid,
yeah. Like
now I absolutely look.
Split pea. I never liked it.
It's absolutely.
And now I love it.
Tomato
reminds
soup.
Me of The Exorcist.
I watch The Exorcist while I'm eating it.
Remember
she
when
really
you
has
could
to immerse herself?
You could get Campbell's split pea soup, and you could win tickets to see The Exorcist. Remember that?
That was the giveaway. Best promotion.
Oh, I don't know what they were thinking.
So that's it. soup related movies, and then soups that you came to know and love. But like tomato soup is one that I
with a grilled cheese.
I felt as a kid I was kind of tortured with. I didn't really like. It that
I
much.
Loved
now
it.
It's just something you really look forward to, and yeah. With grilled cheese, yep.
Why are you making a funny look?
Because tomato soup doesn't do it for me at all, and I know people who love it. Family members of mine will have it from time to time, and I just go, I don't think
but tomato bisque is what I like, because right. There's big globs of stewed
now,
tomatoes in
there. Now, why isn't
that
too rich for you? Because that's almost as rich as lobster bisque.
Because the tomato is not a protein. I mean, I think it's.
Is that what it
I think
is?
It's.
Does it ever say market price
protein.
Next to the tomato bill?
Oh no, it never does. It never does. I've told you this, Hannah, but I kept it a secret from you guys. But I wanted Hannah to know this. Years ago in Maine, there's a restaurant that we would always go to, and they had as a special one day they had blueberry shiitake mushroom soup. And I said to the waiter, honestly, has anybody even ordered this? He goes, you can't believe how great this is.
I have searched for this recipe
for
you.
Oh, my God. It's one of the best foods I've ever had in my life. Yeah. And it was a special that they've never made again.
No. No. It. Well, I mean, shiitakes are more expensive.
I'm going to have to hit the delay.
Right, I'm sorry. Wendy, shiitake happens. You know that. Come on. You can say that. You can get away with that.
So, Phil, describe it for those people so they can search out and try to recreate it. I can't even imagine what kind of soup it is. I'm thinking fruit juice.
Well, here's
and
what
mushroom.
It is. I said to him, I said, those are two flavors I would never in a million years put together. And he said, try it and then we'll talk about it. And I did. And I said, I can't believe
I ate the whole thing.
I can't believe I ate the whole thing. I said that. And then I said, I can't believe how these separate. Like, with every spoonful of this, you would taste very distinctively the blueberries.
So it's nuanced.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's layered and nuanced. You would taste the blueberries, but then the shiitake mushroom was also there, blended together perfectly.
All right. Now, and like I said, if you happen to have this recipe, because I have searched for the recipe, so if somebody has that, please
pass
it
along
to myself
to us,
or info@flavorhd. Here's another thing I did the other day, and this was out of the blue. I make a recipe that calls for cream of mushroom soup.
Yeah.
Right? Which, like, any of the recipes that came from the 70s call for a can of cream of mushroom soup.
Green bean casserole, anything.
Yeah. My kids hate the chunks of mushrooms.
Oh.
So I was either faced with picking this out or... No, I stuck it in the blender.
Oh,
you are a genius.
Thank you. It was
like a
Vitamix,
mushroom smoothie?
Vitamix for the win. Yeah, I added some water to it to obviously allow, you know, to blend more easily. But it was perfect. I had all the earthiness and
really?
The savoriness of the mushrooms, none of the chunks. And I don't know why it never occurred to me
prior
to that.
The shrewdy. But the... So now, did you do it? Because sometimes I'll hand stuff to the kids that I'm doing kind of a resourceful workaround.
Yeah.
Because they're just such complainers, you know. And so you hand it to them. So, Hannah, did you hand it and you were like,
no.
Did you not notice it? Or did you know?
No, they had said in the past, like, oh,
if these were just smaller.
Great, except we don't like the chunks of mushrooms. Okay. And so I was getting ready to make the recipe. And Grayson said, I really wish it didn't have the mushrooms.
Yeah.
Because I have to pick all of this out. And so I'm getting ready to make it. And I was like, what if there were no mushrooms? I
can
make
that, be
that
something.
Happen.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's another option because it never occurred to me to blend it.
There are some people who the consistency of food, I know my son Michael, when he was learning how to eat real food, he could eat smooth yogurt, but the fruit in there, it's like
that
consistency.
It gags on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mushrooms are one that I don't like the texture of mushrooms.
Yeah.
I love what they add to the dish,
right?
But really, I'm one that really would
they're
pick
a little
them
spongy,
out. Just enough. Yeah. And so for me, even for me, it was a better shift on the recipe.
Interesting. All right. Hannah and Dana here from Flavor HD. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Speaking of mystery and crime, Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD are here. Hi, guys.
It seems like a crime at how just perfect Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen are. And apparently it is.
Well, let's get
He's not that great, despite what Anna DeVlanta says.
You're not a fan of Tom Brady's?
No, he's not that cute.
No?
Yeah, I'm not a big
fan. Wow.
She's cuter than he is.
Wow.
Well, she makes
more money
than he does.
She's a supermodel, yeah.
Well, we bring the story up because they are in the news. There's a diet that I guess...
Which one of those two needs to be on a diet?
They're both in pretty good
shape. It is all about what they take in versus actually like watching their calories. That's not it at all. Their chef was actually interviewed, and apparently they're incredibly strict.
Hello, lovey. Where's my chef?
Chef Alan Campbell, relation to the soup.
Mm-hmm. No.
We have to say that because it is soup month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very different. But essentially what they do is a variation on an AIP diet, which is very, very strict paleo diet for people who have autoimmune. I've talked about that myself, that mm-hmm. I've done this prior. I don't even think I'm as strict as what it sounds like they are. And honestly, if I had a personal chef, maybe I could be. It'd be a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But what they do is primarily a vegetable-based diet. But no tomatoes.
Why?
Because
it has lycopene.
It
does. They are inflammatory. It's a category of vegetables called nightshades, which also include mushrooms. Apparently, they don't like the texture either. Peppers, mushrooms, eggplants, and tomatoes are referred to as nightshades. Tomatoes will occasionally make it into their meals about once a month or so.
Now, there's stories that Tom Brady has been deflating his vegetables. Is that true? Do we know for sure if that's happening?
He's not, but he's aware that others are.
Some people are
doing
it.
You got some flat eggplants.
Allegedly.
His meal planner was found smashed in the garbage. They couldn't retrieve information from it. Well, this is a good point because he's got his own personal chef, and so you could just blurt out things at a moment of weakness and say, I'd like to eat all organic, let's eat 80% vegetables, let's just have a raw diet, let's do this, right? In the real world, like we, and I'll include all of us collectively, and all of the listeners too, except mm-hmm. for just a handful.
Mm-hmm. A lot of work.
Yeah, it's just not possible to do crazy things like that, you know, but when you have your own personal chef, and you make, I think, between you $100 million a year, God. You can, you know, it just shows up, because I know that if the food just showed up and it was at least good, that someone else made it, said, Dane, this is what's for dinner. This is what I would be eating, and whatever would happen would happen.
I mean, if we go back, and the thing is, it's not lost on me that their chef is doing interviews. I mean, Art Smith being one of the more famous chefs, who was Oprah's personal chef, obviously has spun that into a tremendous personal celebrity, including restaurants, and he's a great chef and a great guy.
Well, Hannah, what are you implying? What happened there?
I'm wondering. No, because she was incredibly healthy and very fit when he was cooking.
Well, Wendy's chef, Chef Boyardee, did a similar thing years ago and has done very well for himself.
I think, though,
although look at me,
that when you have examples of fitness such as Gisele and Tom Brady, it might not be out of the question that he's trying to raise his own personal
profile. What happens, like, does the body accept, like, let's say you're on a regular diet for years and years and years, and all of a sudden you decide, I'm only going to eat vegetables or vegetable-based. Does your body adapt to that quickly, or does that take a while for that to happen?
It can depend. Everybody is going to be different. I'm not a nutritionist. However, what you do have to go through, especially if you've been eating incredibly poorly, detoxing from the sugars and whatever you might have been reacting to prior. Like they were saying, tomatoes are inflammatory. You could be dealing with some inflammation just from a reaction of things you've been eating.
I think your body does go into not shock, but it goes into an adjustment period where you may have some, you know, loose stool or some other things.
Oh,
as
God,
a,
really?
I know that sounds terrible.
I was
right?
hoping
I got
you'd say that today.
I got through food poisoning talk without that phrasing, and yet
well, I think that's a nice diplomatic way to say it.
You're inflammatory.
Yeah. We talked about for the average person, like how do you achieve these things? It's wonderful you can see something magical on TV, but you just can't get it. When I was filling in, I was talking with Roger Badish, and we were talking about one of our resolutions. I said my resolution was to lose 80 pounds. Right?
80 pounds?
You can't lose 80 pounds.
I know. He said that. I couldn't lose 80 pounds. And I said, well, I'll put it out there. So then when I'm only half as successful as I'd like to be, then hey, maybe we'll be in the team photo. And then we were talking about, you know, those movie stars, right? They can fluctuate for a movie role because they've got the personal trainer. So the goal is to get a job, get an acting job, right?
Where you have a personal starring role in a movie.
Where you've got to fluctuate. Or, and now we can add in, become become a supermodel or a Hall of Fame quarterback. And then the diet thing is all set.
Do you know who does that? And you would never believe this, but I see pictures of him in like National Enquirer type magazines. Denzel Washington can be so cut and in such great shape when he's doing movies, and then he'll be off for 6 months or 8 months, and you see him in these magazines. He's got a gut on him. He looks really heavy. And then he just loses the weight like that.
Well, I mean, to compare, and that's part of the reason I wanted to talk about this diet and the fact that it's getting a lot of attention. If you want to be healthier, that's great. And if you want to use this as an example, mazel tov. But yeah, this is something that is really, really hard to achieve without the chef and the trainers.
And the dollars. It's probably a very expensive, just that process of having a guy go out and get that.
The chef has said, and that's the thing, he said, you know, if it's not organic, I do not buy it.
Right.
Well, okay, but for me to say, all right, what am I going to cook? What am I going to make for the kids? It's not organic. I can't buy it. It's January in Chicago.
Right.
There are places to go. It's incredibly expensive. I'm going to be running around to different restaurants. The chef, that's his job, or he has people who would be sourcing that for him.
Of course.
And so this is something, if you want to make those positive changes, do it. I'm all for it. And if this is something that you can look towards, that's great. But we're not Denzel and Tom Brady. And I mean, part of the reason they're saying does this is he wants to extend his playing time into his 40s. She obviously wants to have incredible skin. And
oh God,
and
who cares?
Right, exactly. That's my problem.
She's a supermodel.
I like incredible skin, please.
I just want to feel better. And that's, you know, why I try to make the best food choices.
That's Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD. That's their website, flavorhd.com. Dane's band Loose Stool will be performing at Metro this Saturday night. You got a 9 o'clock show.
Loosey Goosey opening up.
I'm early.
That's a great show. Thank you, guys. Great to see you. Quick break, and then news is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks. The Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada officially starts today. Now, yesterday we talked to Josh Davis from Apt Electronics, and we got a little bit of a preview, but now the show is in full force. Josh joins us right now by way of the telephone. Hello, Josh.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. So it all kicks off today. You saw the preview yesterday. Have you been to it yet? Did it start already for the morning?
All right. So we've had a very busy morning that started way too early. And we are at the convention center right now. The floodgates are going to open in like 10 minutes for the public, where this whole event is just going to become chaos.
Wait.
We're talking just thousands of people are about to walk in here.
Josh, I have to ask you, because one of the problems I've always had with the Consumer Electronics Show, and I've been to the one in Chicago many times and the one in Las Vegas a few times, is even though it's called the Consumer Electronics Show, the consumers themselves are not allowed to attend the show, but you just said that the public is about to be let in. Have they changed the rules?
No, I'm sorry. I guess I was just thinking of the people out there all waiting. It seems like a public group to me, but it is a event for like buyers and, you know, people that are in the industry.
Right.
So they're all registered. They're all here to, you know, see all the latest and greatest technology. So, yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right. And then the other weird thing is you can't buy, like, even though it's all the things that you'll be able to buy throughout the year, you can't really see something, like it, buy it, and walk away with it, right? You're making an order, and then you'll get it in a few months or whenever it's released, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like people are coming in here and buying 100, you know, apps, not our buyers that are all here, and they're behind closed doors most of the time, and they're dealing with the vendors. They're not walking out here, you know, saying, hey, we'll buy 100 of these and 100 of these. They're saying, okay, what's the next technology you guys are doing? Show us what's the future of your company's product lines. Trying to figure out what the mix should be for Apt or all the other companies that are here. Same kind of concept.
Right, right. All right, give us a little bit of that preview. What are we gonna see today and throughout the week?
All right, so let's see. Yesterday we did shoot a lot of content. This morning we've been shooting since about 7 a.m. our time here. So here's the scoop. Number one for TVs, which at Apt, it's one of our big guys. Installing TVs at Apt, you might have had Apt come out and install your TV. Imagine the future of this for someone that wants a giant TV. There's a 170-inch TV that we saw today, but what was so cool about it is it's modular. So imagine your installer's coming out, and instead of bringing a 170-inch TV, they have all these blocks, and they kind of put these blocks together, and boom, you have a gorgeous 170-inch TV without any lines between the blocks. It's all seamless and beautiful. And that was at Samsung. So that's a cool video that you guys should check out.
Can I ask how that's done? Because you would assume if they're putting it in piece by piece, you would see some little seam between the pieces. How do they get away with not having that seam?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. You have to really see the demo. There's two demos that we're showing it. One is the TV we looked at. So we're looking at a 170-inch TV. It's gorgeous, amazing. I don't see any lines. The picture quality is outstanding. the spot next to it are the blocks. And the blocks, man, I don't know, maybe like a foot and a half squared, maybe 2 feet squared. So there are these relatively small blocks, but there's a whole bunch of them. And as they're moving around on their display, showing you how seamless, there's no like lines between the blocks. So the video we shot really shows it off. It'll be on the app YouTube channel. But that was pretty cool, the way that the Samsung guys did that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the TV world, 8K TVs, we were at LG. They have an 8K TV, and 8K, what's 8K? We're all just still adjusting to 4K. 8K is 16 times the quality, the resolution of a 1080p TV. And we all kind of know what 1080p is. That's the standard of HD these days. But 4K is taking over for sure. Everything here is 4K.
But now, are there programs being broadcast already in 8K, or is that something that's coming down the pike?
No, that would be future content. The LG TV that we saw that was 8K, I think it was like 89 inches. It was a big TV, and there's no date when it's going to hit the market. They said it is not a concept. It's going to hit the market. So there's a future of this high resolution beyond 4K. But for content, the big deal right now is for people that are buying 4K TVs, that's been the question. What content is coming through in 4K? And now we see Blu-ray players that have 4K Blu-rays now. So that's something at CES that's a big deal for people that either have a 4K TV or want to buy a 4K TV. Is there streaming content from like Netflix and stuff like that? And the quality's pretty darn good. But when you're watching a Blu-ray 4K disc, that's going to really just open up so much more content.
Yeah.
Except how much is this going to be now? I mean, these prices for TVs right now are coming down so incredibly. You can get a smart TV, a smaller one, for a pretty low price. But now with all these 4Ks and 8Ks, is it going to be affordable?
Well, when we're talking 8K, we're really kind of looking pretty far, I'd say, in the future. Even though it's coming out this year, I think the 8K would be that very new, super kind of expensive, you know, top of the line, best quality. But 4K, as we've all seen this year, really has just, you've seen a bunch of 4K TVs under $1,000, big screens, 4K resolutions. So I think 4K really, as of 2015, kind of opened up as being affordable options, instead of, you know, a couple years ago, the 4K TV was like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. They were so pricey that they were just, you know, out of people's reach. That's not the case anymore.
So, Josh, the way it usually works, and you worked for Apt, so you know this, is that initial year, the price is going to be a little bit up there, but then once they saturate a little bit, then the price comes down, it becomes more affordable, huh?
Yeah, and then, you know, we'll have 16K.
Yeah, right. They'll find something newer and better.
Technology in the future.
Now, a couple of years ago, the 3D televisions became something of a rage until people realized that the broadcast networks really weren't putting out any programming in 3D. Has that changed at all? Are you seeing any 3D TVs, or is that just something that came and went really quickly?
Well, I would have to say that the 3D TV market in general really never kind of blasted off. Everyone likes 3D, especially like when we go to the movie theaters nowadays and watch 3D content. We all enjoy it. It's a really fun experience. I think that's shifting, though, into a different world, into the world of virtual reality. And the concept of watching 3D and being a part of 3D and these virtual reality systems are going to just be something that will explode this year. We were at Sony, and their PlayStation VR was the I don't play games, but I have to say, it was the coolest experience to put those goggles on, and then suddenly I got headphones on, and I'm in this vehicle. I look ahead, and I see gloves that I'm controlling by moving my hands up and down in the air. It was just the coolest experience to be in a virtual reality world. And that was probably one of the biggest themes at CES, is virtual reality and ways to create it or interact with it.
And how far has that come? Because that was the big thing last year as well. And with it being happening again this year, is it that much better? It's got to be really cool. I would like to try it.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool, and it's definitely going to be something that you're going to see flood the market. To give you a good idea, Samsung has the Oculus Rift, Samsung, their VR system, the Gear VR, and they dropped their price to $99 to buy this cool VR headset, and you put it on, and here's the catch. This is not just $99. It works with your Samsung smartphone. There's a variety of phones. What happens is you literally snap the phone in front of the headset, and that's going to drive the whole system. But you do experience the full world of virtual reality. There's games. It's really cool. And for $99, people already have Samsung smartphones, and they just don't have to buy anything else. So you're going to see a wide range of options. The PlayStation one, you got to buy the PlayStation 4, then you got to buy the headset, the controller, it's a whole thing. So you'll see a wide range.
And Josh, my guess is that these systems aren't compatible with each other. You go one system or the other, but you can't use one on the other system, can you?
No, I would say it's going to be pretty proprietary.
Yeah.
Like actually, like a gaming console, like PlayStation, for example, that'll be PlayStation games. You might see certain games in the future bleeding across different consoles, but especially at the launch, the game I played, I forgot what it was called, something where I was in London, and the guy driving next to me was on the wrong side of the car. I was really confused to be in that virtual world. But that kind of stuff will be Sony exclusive, and Samsung will have all sorts of stuff available through their systems. There's also something from HTC coming out, and there's all these different virtual reality things. It's really cool stuff.
Yeah. One more quick question about television. About a year or so ago, they started telling us that a curved television was the way to go, that you get more immersed in it if it's curved. Is that just something, again, that was just sort of a fad, or are you seeing more curved television sets?
No, there's a lot of curved TVs. In fact, kind of at a very extreme level, right before this phone call, we were finishing up at the LG booth, and they have these OLED TVs. OLED, imagine like something that's as thin as a giant piece of foil is the actual panel for your TV. That's how flexible and thin it is. And they just stick it onto a piece of glass, and boom, you got a TV. And these TVs are curved, and this material can curve so much that there was a TV on display. It had like all these curves and ripples in it, and the panels were mounted on both sides. You could watch TV on both sides of it. Obviously, this is not something in someone's living room. It was just an example to show you that the ability to be flexible with these new, panels is just out of this world. And yeah, you do, I think, get a little more immersive experience when you have that curve in the TV. So it's not going to go away. It's not a fad. And the manufacturers have that ability to do this with all these new flexible panels. So I don't think you're going to see it disappear.
That is Josh Davis from Apt Electronics, keeping us up to date on what's going on at the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And we'll check in again with you at some point tomorrow, right, Josh?
Sounds good. I'm sorry, I don't got information on your shoes you wanted me to see.
They
self-tying shoes?
I tried, I promise.
All right.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you doing it, Josh.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and close off this part of the show in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
This is the last time I'm trying to Photoshop anything. I said it would be posted on our Facebook page by 11 o'clock. What, you ask? Bill looks like this guy, James Tracy, who is a loon.
He looks like me. And when you say he is a loon, you mean that guy, right? James Tracy, not me. Which one of us is the
less
loon?
Of a doofus? What did you say, Kevin?
He's a less dweeby looking Bill.
Yeah.
He's a crazy guy.
No, I'm sorry, wait.
I'm a less dweeby looking him. Thank you. James Tracy's the guy. It's a horrible, horrible story. He's a teacher. He's a professor at a Florida Atlantic University school. Oh, that's the name of the school, Florida Atlantic University. And he maintains, and he has ever since the events first took place, that Sandy Hook was staged. It wasn't a real event. He's insane. He happens to look exactly like me. His face and mine are one and the same.
The more I look at it, I don't know, but I got to tell you, I said, oh, yeah, I can Photoshop this. We'll put it on our Facebook page. I have just spent almost 2 hours doing this.
Right.
And Bill just says to me off the air, if you send me a picture of myself and a picture of this guy, I've gotten really good at Photoshop.
I can do it
Find
in a couple of minutes.
Find your own picture.
I don't have time for that. I
have just spent 2 hours.
I've been watching you just meticulously try to recreate this. It's not easy. But for some reason, I got really good at it fast. I don't know why, but I just figured out how to do it really quickly.
Well, then do it.
You got to send me the pictures.
No, you got to find your own pictures. That's all part of the thing.
I don't know if I can do that
for
you.
You can't half-ass your way through it.
The rest of my life has been that.
I know.
I've done that since I was a baby. Can I just quickly throw a kudo or two out to Kevin, our producer?
Just one kudo?
Yeah. Kevin, you got to get a kudo from me.
I'll give you the other one. So you
I don't
get
think
kudos.
You can. I don't think you can give just one kudo. I think they come in pairs or sets. I think. Anyway, we found out earlier today from our friend Steve Bertrand that Jay Levine, the great Jay Levine, over at Channel 2, is cashing in his chips. He is no longer going to be a reporter, and we all said we don't want that to happen. And we then said to Kevin, why don't you get Jay Levine and we can have him on the show and talk him out of retiring. And at 2:35, the one and only Jay Levine will be sitting right over there in the studio, and you and I can do our best to try to convince him that he should not retire.
He is amazing, and I'm looking so very forward to that.
I've never met him. I sat next to him in a restaurant in Lindo, Mexico years and years ago.
You've got to stop stalking newscasters.
Now I'm going to stop. I've learned that that's not the way to meet people, is by stalking them in Mexican restaurants.
And then you don't even talk to them after stalking. You stalk, then talk.
Yeah, I wish I knew that at the time. That's a good rule to follow when following your TV friends. But at the time, I just thought it's best to let him eat his dinner and stare at him. But now he'll be in the studio and I can actually talk to him like a human being.
And stare at him.
I'm still going to stare at him. Yeah. That's not going to change anytime soon.
Well, I look very forward to that. I really hate the fact that he's retiring. He's got a lot more Levine left in him.
I think you need to say that exact phrase to him.
He works so much harder than we do, though, because think about it this way. You know, we haven't been on the air for 40 years, but in a few years, it will be 40-some years.
Right.
10 years or something.
Roughly.
I don't want to retire, firstly, because I don't really have a good savings.
Right.
Second of all, that's
so valid. I don't either.
I know.
When people talk about the luxury of retiring and traveling and stuff, I'd be out. If I retired today, I'd be out of money on Monday morning. I wouldn't have any more money left.
I would take you to Berwyn for a little travel.
That would be
I'll
nice.
Take you to lunch in right. Berwyn.
That would be nice.
But I don't think, you know, in radio, you don't really have to retire.
Right.
And now with the way, you know, everything is digital, you could technically do it from home
forever.
Someday. And forever.
Dick Biondi, who is mentioned twice in the Old Testament, has been doing radio for over 1,000 years, and he's not going anywhere. He just proves you can do radio, and not just radio, but good radio, for as long as you want.
And TV's different. I mean, Jay Levine does work harder, but it's like we got to talk him out of retiring. That is the bottom line.
I don't want Jay Levine to retire. Let's say today's show is the success of our show today is based on whether or not we can convince Jay Levine to stick it out, to keep doing what he's been doing for so many years. Did we hear 32 years earlier? Was that how many years he's been a reporter?
42
years?
Yeah.
That's like 10 more years than I even said. So please, Jay Levine, come up with an open mind when you're on our show. Have an open mind, and Wendy and I will do our best to convince you that you should not be retiring.
We'll do our best to clutter up that open mind, because that's what we do.
Right. All right, so Jay Levine at 2:35, and then at 1:35, this is a hard-to-get guest. Nobody else has this on the station, Wendy. Michael Wolff will be joining us. All right?
Who's that?
Michael Wolff is the guy who has an extremely hairy back, and he has convinced artists to shave works of art into his back hair.
Oh, that's right. I thought he had canceled for
today.
No,
he's coming on, and I'm going to convince him not to retire.
No, he can retire.
Could we convince you to make some art into his back hair?
Yes.
Ew, I am not touching someone's back hair.
I'm going to recreate the Dutch Masters on his back hair. So be ready for that at 1:35.
I'm going to throw up on the air.
All right, that's fine. Steve Bertrand will be by in just a moment to tell you what he's got coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks very, very much. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. We'll be here for the next couple of hours. We've got a bunch of things to share with you. Join in at 312-981-7200.
Duran Duran? Who is this?
I don't think this is Duran Duran.
I don't think you would know this band. It's called The Rapture.
No,
I don't. Guys, can I just add one more quick thing to the breaking news story in Zion? Just to let people know that police say there are no suspects at large. The lockdowns have been lifted at the school, so it appears they got their suspect. And obviously, we'll get more details about that later this afternoon.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you for keeping us abreast of that situation.
There's a couple of stories that all stem from Barack Obama's speech yesterday. And what I'm sure you're aware of is
he gave a shout out to Chicago.
He did, actually. I'm not positive in a good way. It's not in a good way. He talked about the various forms of gun violence that we've been seeing over the past year or several years. And he at some point made mention of the fact that it's what goes on the streets of Chicago every day. And it's a terrible way to be singled out, but it didn't shock anybody because we live here. We kind of know. So there's a few side stories over yesterday. Side story number one is Donald Trump's angle on all of this. Donald Trump said yesterday after Barack Obama's speech about gun restrictions, he said, I know I'll go down 5 points in the polls by saying this, but I think Obama's tears were real. If you don't know what that refers to, as President Obama was making his speech yesterday, not through the whole speech, but through a portion of it, he was welling up a little bit. He was tearing up over the situation and explaining how, you know, it's become a regular occurrence for him to have to deal with what's been going on because of guns. And so Trump weighed in on it in a way I think most people either expected or didn't expect. I know the guy is fairly predictable in his unpredictability, if that makes sense. Does it?
Trump, you're talking?
Yeah.
And, you know, he hit the nail on the head. You know, he can do any terrible thing, and he goes up in the polls. This is a nice thing, he said.
So,
he will go down.
He'll lose points because of it. The tears, you and I were on the air, I believe, when he made his speech, so we didn't see it live, but I've watched it on film twice, once last night, once today. I don't know how anyone could question the tears. It's beyond sad what has happened.
Can I tell you, I don't question any of Barack Obama's emotions. That's what I liked about him. That's what I like about him. He wants to make this a better world.
Right.
He really does.
Right.
Whether or not he's able to do it, that's another thing.
Exactly.
But I believe his intentions are true.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you're the president of the country, and you see a certain direction that the country's headed in, and I don't think it's a good one. I mean, the rate of these attacks just seems to keep escalating at all times. He is in the center of it in that he leads the country and attends the funerals and has to make a speech every time one of these things happens. And you'd have to be a robot to not be affected by it. We're affected. I mean, we're all affected by it to some extent. But I think if you're the president, you probably have a little more stake in it. So that's what's happening. Now, as a side note to that, if I may, gun sales continue to go on the rise. The actor James Woods was slamming Barack Obama yesterday, and he is again today.
May I ask you a question about James Woods?
Yeah.
Good old Jimmy W.
Yeah.
When's the last time he's been in a movie or worked?
He still works fairly regularly. He's not as busy as he was when he was in his prime, but he's still working fairly regularly and does go out of his way from time to time to make a political statement.
Yeah, because I haven't thought about James Woods. I always liked him as an actor, but I haven't thought about him in a while. So good job, Jimmy Wood, for making me think about you again.
James Woods, it says here in the story, is slamming President Barack Obama for issuing an executive order to enforce stricter gun control laws. The president addressed the nation on Tuesday during an emotional speech in which he got tearful while calling for action to prevent gun violence. During his speech, Barack Obama stressed that he's not trying to take anyone's Second Amendment rights away, but instead, and that's, by the way, that's a huge point of contention. That's the reason sales keep going up. The last 2 years, they've been selling more guns. Guns are selling at a record pace. And I saw Smith and Wesson shares rose dramatically yesterday just on speculation that the sales would continue to grow.
Yeah, but it's not a point of contention. It's a point of sort of almost hysteria.
It is, right. Uh-huh. More accurately, right. It is a point of, you're right, it is a point of hysteria more than of contention, because people assume, and they're assuming this incorrectly, that what he's trying to do is to say, we're going to go door to door, and if you have a gun, you better hand it over, because that's the new law. And there's nothing close to that.
No.
Right.
And again, a lot of the people who have guns legally are not the problem.
Right. But let me ask you this. If you're a big believer in guns and you already have some guns, how many guns
do you need?
But that's what people are doing now.
I collect shoes. My 16-year-old collects guitars.
But they probably won't outlaw shoes or guitars, right?
They're not going to outlaw guns.
They're not going to outlaw guns either. But if you're already a proud gun owner and you have a couple of them, what would you be stocking up right now going, uh-oh, I better get them now?
Well, with what's going on in Korea with the H-bomb being dropped, yeah, maybe.
This would be the
time. You going to shoot an H-bomb out of
yes.
the air?
My aim is tremendous. Sadie, you want to jump in here with a very great question? Go ahead and ask it.
I am just appalled. I don't know why we are all obsessed with guns. They just passed a law in Texas. It's okay for people to pack guns. And the country, these men, is warlike. What are we doing? Why are we killing each other? Why are kids killing each other? I don't understand it. You know, I have three grown children. We've never had guns. My husband and I did not buy guns for them to play with. They don't have guns in their home. I don't understand.
I don't get it either. I don't own a gun. I don't want to ever own a gun. I'm afraid of guns. There, I said it.
I am too. I'm with you. And I love you, Bill. I love you. You're so nice.
Oh, thank you, Sadie. Call anytime.
Every day.
Thanks, Sadie. Appreciate it.
We'll try and get the answer to your question, okay?
Good luck.
Now, to Sadie's point, she just explained how she and her husband never purchased toy guns for their kids. Try buying a toy gun right now. You can't find a toy gun anywhere. You could get a real gun if you want. If you have your heart set on buying a real gun, start buying them now. Go get it. Get as many as you want. But a toy gun? Mm-mm. Too dangerous.
I told you Dylan wanted one of those airsoft guns. Is that what they're called?
I'm not sure what an airsoft gun is.
It shoots like pellets.
Oh,
I think it's called an airsoft gun.
Yeah, all right.
And they have orange tips on them.
Right.
And I had read, you know, I did a little investigation. I did not want to get him one at all, but I looked on the internet and I found some information that there are a lot of people, a lot of kids take that orange tip off so it looks like a real gun.
Right.
So I explained to Dylan, you know, hopefully you'll never be in a position where a police officer questions you or says freeze in your tracks, but if you whip out this gun and there's no orange tip on it,
then you got a problem.
You could get shot.
Right.
And I don't know that I'd blame them, because how are they supposed to know that's a toy gun? Then I went on to read that there were a lot of gangbangers that were putting orange tips on real guns
to look like they're toys.
I don't know where this ends.
I don't know. During his speech, Barack Obama stressed that he is not going to take away anyone's Second Amendment rights, but instead make it more difficult for people with dangerous criminal backgrounds to obtain firearms. Among the stars who tweeted in support of the president's decisions, Amy Schumer, Julianne Moore, Mark Ruffalo, Elizabeth Banks, Kerry Washington, and many more. But an outraged James Woods, however, slammed the president. The actor tweeted...
With his gun.
Does it say that? It doesn't say that. First POTUS gave me no choice but to join the NRA. Now he's giving me no choice but to buy a gun.
How did what he say make him want another gun?
That's unclear.
I didn't mean to interrupt his whole thing. Go ahead.
But they were saying yesterday how people who are in the gun selling business, that Barack Obama has become a hero to these people because they're selling guns at record pace. And they're thanking him for it. They're saying, if he wasn't so adamant about gun control, we wouldn't be selling them. We can't keep guns in stock thanks to him, because everybody's panicked right now. As Steve just said, it's mass hysteria. No one's going to be able to have a gun, so I better load up on him now.
Yeah, but if you load up on them now and they're going to take away the right to have a gun, they're going to come confiscate
them. But they're not.
It's like they're going to take away the right to vote. I mean, the Supreme Court has weighed in it clearly, especially in cases coming out of Chicago, you know, that you are allowed in this country to have guns. No, they're not going to take away. And, you know, I'm listening to some of these politicians fuel it.
Right.
And they know better.
But it equals, the more they fuel it, the more it equals scare tactics, the more hopefully, if everything goes right to them, it means votes to them, right?
Well,
is that what they're going for?
I mean, I guess that's the case. It's a weird thing, Bill, because, you know, there's a Quinnipiac poll that says 90% of the people in this country support the idea of background checks at gun shows. 90%.
Yeah.
90% of us don't agree on anything.
Right.
That's a great point.
But it's going nowhere. And the argument is not about whether or not it's a good idea. The argument is all about whether or not the president has the power to do it. I want some of these people who say that he doesn't and they don't like it that way to then be asked, well, is it a good idea or not? And if it is a good idea, what are you doing to make it happen?
It's a good question.
And we've got people who want to talk about
this. A bunch.
312-981-7200. Shall we take a quick break?
Yep, that's the thing to do. 312-981-7200, as Wendy said. We'll get to your calls next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. We're talking about the aftermath of Barack Obama's speech yesterday, explaining to America he's not trying to go door-to-door and take away your guns. What he's trying to do is to make it a little bit safer, make it a little more difficult for people who do not have guns to obtain guns. I asked the musical question, if you have a gun or two, how many do you really need?
Brian might have the answer for you, so let's go to Brian. Hi there, Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good. You're packing? Are you?
Well, yeah, you know. No, that would be illegal on my side. So
we have a few weapons, and you know, your analogy with the guitars is right on, spot on. It's you know, everyone is slightly different in its own way. Us, my wife and I personally, we have a few, and they're locked in safes, so they're not accessible by anybody. So, you know, most gun owners that are legal and do it right, we could care less if they do an extra background search on anybody. It's like a CDL driver, which I am, drug test. It's like, I don't care. I don't do drugs. Do all your testing you want.
Well, that's true. And people who get guns legally and who collect guns and have guns like you, this doesn't bother you because you're playing by the rules.
Well, not at all. And having the fear of a weapon is understandable. I mean, they're a very violent, you know, if you think about it, when you fire it, it's an explosion, it's throwing a projectile out. But, you know, if you ever go to a range, a certified range with certified trainers, they make you very comfortable about it. Before they even load or you touch a weapon, they teach you safety first. You know, that's the way we do it at our house, is before you even touch it, you understand safety and the rules of shooting on a range.
Do you have kids?
Yes, I do.
Do they shoot?
Sure.
And you're taught to respect a gun. I mean, even teaching your kid how to drive, you say you need to be in control of this vehicle because this could kill you. Same thing with a gun.
The key is don't let ignorance make you afraid. You know, if you're scared of a gun, okay, cool, but don't slam them.
I'm not slamming them. I just don't want one in my house, and you know what? That's my decision.
Absolutely, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. You know, it's a personal, you know, I don't have any guitars.
Maybe we'll trade someday.
They scare me. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, if Pete Townsend has his hands on them, because he'll smash them. Thank you for calling. Brian, it was good to hear that side of it. See, we can have a conversation, can't we, even though we don't agree?
Absolutely. And as long as everybody's safe with them, and the key is, how do we get them out of the hands of the bad people?
Exactly.
That's where you got to get them. You know, the mental health, you know, it's not the 99.9% of all the people that are holding weapons that are doing it the right way. They're not the issue. You know, it's a small percentage. How do we get them out of their hands that aren't supposed to have them, and B, maybe a mental health issue, and we have to give awareness with their family and teach them, hey, you know, if your son or if your cousin or whatever has mental health issues, they own weapons, bring it up to somebody.
Exactly, because that's a red flag right there. And Obama is proposing $500 million more for mental health care, which is definitely necessary.
If that gets passed, yes. And everybody's saying it's going to be very hard to get that passed.
Brian, nice talking to you.
You too.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. See, now he's a rational guy. Even though we don't agree on things, we can have a conversation. Why does everybody get so mad?
I don't know. But I still don't know how many you need. If you have a couple and your goal is, in having these guns, to protect yourself, to protect your family, to protect your property, how many more do you need? Because they're talking about how people the last 2 years have just been going in and buying more and more and more.
But Brian just explained it. It is like guitars. You collect them. He has various kinds. I don't know that I wish he was still there, because I don't know if he necessarily bought them for protection. It sounds like he bought them to go to a shooting range and to shoot.
Yeah.
I can't imagine gun owners like Brian, who just called up, ever want to kill somebody with a gun. I can't imagine anybody wants to do that.
Right. No, I understand that.
Something that can school us a little bit on this whole gun thing. Chris, you think it's more of a cultural issue?
Well, and again, I sit on both sides of the fence of this. I have a little different perspective. But, you know, if you look back, guns have historically been a large part of our society, but for different reasons at different times. And I think after the 40s and 50s, when the whole Red Scare and Pearl Harbor, it became a matter of protection for people to defend their homes and defend themselves against an invasion. And what was perceived to be a real threat in the 50s, when there were during the Cuban Missile Crisis, people actually thought that the communists were going to come to this country and take over the country. So it became one of protection. But what has happened since then, and as we see in our inner cities, the guns have taken on a different realm. It's a completely different thing. Assault rifles, automatic weapons, those kind of things that are now pervasive in the inner city basically arm the gangbangers and those people more heavily than the police are armed.
Sure.
And the streets are just generally unsafe. And I had a discussion with actually my cousin yesterday about this, and he's a very staunch supporter of gun rights. And I said, can't we even, like you were saying, can we even talk about this in a way that makes sense to look at it so that innocent kids are not just randomly shot and it doesn't become a hunter versus, you know, the inner city rights of kids to grow up in peace without being shot at? Can't we at least have some dialogue about this? And it seems to me that nobody's willing to flex on one side, and it left the president no choice but to do something, to put it in front of the courts and let the courts make a decision about how we can move forward with something that makes sense.
Well, all well said. Extremely well said, Brian,
and
really.
847 has chimed in via text. You guys are not discussing the real gun issues, such as access to automatic weapons and the gun show loophole issue. And that's true. And honestly, again, I will say it, the people who have weapons and do it legally, I don't feel they're the problem.
Well, they're not the problem. They're not the problem. The difficulty is, like I said, is that the guns have evolved into something that's much more than the casual hunter going out and killing something for his family to eat and that kind of thing. I don't think anybody's against that.
I was just going to say, by and large, they're not the problem, but, you know, they can be the problem, Wendy. The guy who bought the guns used in the San Bernardino shooting was in court today and pleaded not guilty. You know, he bought those guns
and
legally.
Gave it to...
And transferred them to, to the shooter. So that
was
a legal purchase
but
and
that's
was a problem.
But that's not an honest-to-goodness gun owner. That's somebody... Well, it's true. He obtained them legally, but... He didn't keep them for his own use. I think the majority of people who want guns and get them legally aren't going to give them to someone else.
Well, they're not going to give them, but if you have it in your mind somehow that you're going to do something horrific and you need a weapon or several weapons to do it, you'll get them through whatever means.
You'll get them on the street quicker than, I guess.
Absolutely.
Well, and another thing, too, is that there are far more guns out there that are not registered, that are not legally owned, than there are that are legally owned. There are so many guns. The manufacturers just continue to make guns. Their guns are available almost everywhere you turn. They're available in Kmart and stores all over the place, and there's nobody really watching it. And from that standpoint, I'm not so sure the government is the best place to control it, but it's the only place that we have. It's the only people that can oversee it and monitor it. So something needs to be done. So I'm going to sign off. Thanks, guys. I enjoy your show.
Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you. We enjoyed your call. It was enlightening. And, again, we're having a conversation, and I blame Charlton Heston for everything.
Well, you have to. You have to blame Charlton Heston. A quick break. We have a lot more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Bill, would you say it is safe to say that everybody wants to be famous?
Everybody does want to be famous.
Do you have certain ways that you would like to get there? Because this our next guest is famous. He's been on Jimmy Fallon's show. He's been all over the place. He's on our show today. And his fame came in an interesting way.
It sure did. I think that puts it mildly.
Michael Wolff, would you agree with that?
I agree with everything except for I haven't been on the Jimmy Fallon show yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
You're coming. It's coming up, right?
It's coming up. I'm hoping. Yes, sir.
Do we know what day that's going to be yet, Michael? Has that been announced yet?
No, he hasn't contacted me, so everybody needs to just start tweeting at him. I've been tweeting at him for a while, too.
Can I tell you when? Because I know when you're going to be on. I already know it's going to be during sweeps month.
During sweeps month?
Yeah, they want to get the highest ratings.
And
they
have to sweep up the hair.
And they have to sweep up the hair.
I was going
to
say, they're going to shave me so they can sweep up the hair.
Well, Michael Wolff is our guest. He is the man behind the calendar hair, and we'll explain that in just a little bit. But Michael, to put it in the most simple terms, you have a lot of hair on your back, and Wendy's discussed this a couple times. She's got the same thing.
Oh, and, stop it!
And what they've done is they will shave works of art into your back hair. Correct?
That's exactly right.
That's fantastic.
Exactly right. We're having a lot of fun with it.
All right, how does this become a reality? You're thinking, boy, I'm hairy back there. Let's have some fun with it.
Well, that's exactly what. So it was July of 2008, and my birthday is the 4th of July. And so we were going camping with about 30 other people, and I talked to my buddy. I said, hey, it was the 2nd of July, I believe it was. It could have been the 3rd, but I said, hey, I need a American flag shaved in my back for this camping trip. And he goes, you got to be kidding me. I said, not a chance. You know, I really need this. So he came over that night. We sketched out a couple things, and I said, that's the one. And sure enough, he shaped it in the back, and it looked perfect. So all weekend long at the camp, we were having fun with it.
Wendy's shaking her head no so hard that I think her head may fall off her neck.
No, I got to tell you, I'm kind of...
Why say no when it's so easy to say yes?
Yes, so true.
I'm intrigued and I'm disgusted. Is that like an okay combination?
Oh, yeah, it's perfectly fine.
Well, Michael...
I think you fall in the same category as my wife.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, that was question number 6 for me is... Has any woman seen past the back hair and loved you for who you truly are? But you guys are married. So obviously, yes.
We've been married, yes. Yes, we've been married for 12 years.
Fantastic.
I can't believe how thick your back hair is. You look like Chewbacca. Like I'm looking at the New Year one where the glasses are, you know, clinking. That
the
is
champagne yeah. glasses?
That is some...
It's lush.
It is very lush.
Very lush.
I gotta see if I can zoom in on this.
You don't want to.
Well, we also comb it out. You know, we gotta make it fluff for the shaving.
So there's a few options if somebody like yourself, Michael, has an excessive amount of back hair. You can try your best to shave it all off. Did you ever try to shave it just all off completely?
You know, I did. It's all started my senior year of high school, and I was a wrestler, so I had to wear those stupid singlets, right?
Yeah.
And it started sprouting. I was like, oh, no, what do we have here? Nobody likes the guy with back hair. So I nared it for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I nared it for 2 years of my life. And then finally, I was just like, you know what? I just can't keep up with this. And so I was at the time dating my now wife. And I just said, hey, I have something to tell you. We were on a date one night, and I said, I have something to tell you.
Yep.
And she was okay. And she could tell I was a little bit nervous. And I said, yeah, you know, I have back hair. And she goes, I've never seen that. I said, I know, because I nared all the time, but I legitimately have a lot of back hair. And she's like, I don't care. And I said, really? And so from that point on, it was game on.
It was. Good.
Yeah.
And now, I'm looking for is your chest hair as thick?
You know, chest hair is just as thick, but it's not like, there's a lot of guys with more chest hair. Let's put it that way.
All right.
And why don't you explain how we can get our hands on this calendar hair? I don't know
well,
how to say it.
Appreciate you letting me do that.
Yeah.
Appreciate you letting me do that. Yeah, we go to www.calendhair.com. And that's my website. And you can buy it online. Just have PayPal pay for it. And then it's $20. But that also includes your shipping.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ship it for the $20 that you guys buy it for.
And you are going to use the proceeds to buy new razors to continue this tradition year after year, aren't you?
No, proceeds to Gates of Hope, which is a orphanage out of Nairobi, Kenya.
It's Gates of Hope?
Yeah, Gates of Hope, and that's at www.gatesofhope.net.
God, are you nice.
And you know what? So here's the story behind that. A buddy of mine from college went there for his internship. He was a social worker. And he came back. His heart went out to these kids. They were really malnourished. They had a lot of medical issues. None of them were educated. And so he started this foundation for Gates of Hope. And since then, we've you know, supported them when we can and stuff like this. But we've created a pretty big group of support for this orphanage. And now that I have this this avenue to do it, I figured proceeds can go there.
Turn it into a positive. That's so nice of you. Michael, I'm sure nobody has ever pointed out your ironic last name, correct?
No, nobody ever has.
All right. I'll keep that streak alive then.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
All right.
I think the name of the story from the Channel 7 news here was The Wolfman.
Oh, that was nice. Good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
All right. For those of you who haven't gone to the website yet, which is calendhair.com, calendhair.com, why don't you go over, I mentioned New Year with the glasses clinking and some streamers. That was shaved into your back. For January, obviously. Why don't you tell us what some of the other months are for people who haven't gone there yet? God, that bikini's really weird.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say beautiful. I didn't think you were going to go weird with it.
When Wendy says weird, she means beautiful,
it's
Michael.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly. Yep.
I kind of like it.
So we named every single picture, and so when you get the calendar, the name of the picture's on the bottom right hand side, and so we like for December we have Away in a Manger.
Beautiful.
Which is, of course, the nativity scene.
Yeah.
Let's see. October, of course, October hair. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
October hair is, of course, the Grim Reaper.
Nice.
And Maharica, the beautiful.
Oh, very nice.
I love that one. Yeah. I got to tell you, that is
patriotic.
My favorite.
Yeah.
It's majestic. It's majestic. Uh-huh.
And the going and back then, to school, the backpack looks pretty good. Tell us about August.
August, back here to school time. And so what it was I was sitting there, and that was the only one I didn't have. That was the very last shaving I did. And I was like, what am I going to do for August since I've obviously done the hair-kini for June? And what happened was I saw my kid walking to school, and I was like, there's a backpack on there. And, of course, a back hair pack. So that's what we did. We did a backpack, and those are my two kids, actually.
Well, and they couldn't be more proud. You can tell by looking at them. They're extremely proud of you, Michael.
Yeah, as they're looking away.
Yep.
But, you know, Michael, I'm proud of you for telling your now wife, you know, I got this thing going on. It's back hair. And she goes, I don't care. It doesn't look that bad. You had been nairing it, which, you know, that's a lot of work. You have shown that, you know, you can live with this and do something fun with it, because your son or daughter may have that as they grow up too, right?
We're hoping that the daughter doesn't. but I guess we're hoping that the son doesn't as well, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, hair is beautiful. They're showing a lot of women these days are not shaving their underarms anymore. There's a whole many websites dedicated to that where it just shows chicks raising their arm and
sure. It
looks, you know, hairy. And really, what's wrong with it? It's just we're not used to it.
Well, right, and obviously there's stigmas, you know, with everything, but really, who cares, right? I mean, you are who you are, so you might as well, I guess if you got it, flaunt it.
Yes, so true. Live it up. Michael, you're inspiring. Am I the only person who's told you that? Because you are.
No, you're not, but I appreciate it.
All right.
Oh, my God, will you please tell us what May is called, just because I want to hear you say it.
So the idea behind May was I said, hey, I need a mariachi guitar player and make the end of the deck something like Cinco de Mayo or something like that. And, mm-hmm. and so the artist of it, he's like, I got this. Don't worry about it. And so he shaved that in, and so it's kind of like a guy wearing a sombrero, you know, head down in a chair, and he's playing his guitar. And so I said, I got the perfect name for you. He said, well, what's that? I said, I'm a mariachi band. And he's like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So how long does it take you in between, like once you have done a new work of art on your back, does it take you the whole month to regrow the hair back, or does it just take a couple of days or weeks?
No. 4 months. 4 months to regrow hair.
Really?
So my first shaving was in 2008, and then we didn't come up with the idea until 2010.
Yeah.
But I've been working on it ever since. Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Couple mistakes, you know, did a couple things that we didn't like.
Right.
And so it's basically taken us from 2010 till now to get this thing done.
Well, it's worth the effort, and it's really, it's cute. I got to say it's cute. Now I've gone all the way to cute. His name is Michael Wolf. He's the guy behind the calendar hair. Am I saying it right? It doesn't sound right when
I say it.
Yeah.
And you can go.
The weird does mean cute, right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And good luck to you, calendhair.com. I think we need to order one for our office, Bill.
We should get one. We definitely should get one. Please thank you, Michael.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right, keep up the good work.
Grow them if you got them.
Grow them if you got them.
Thank you, Michael. I love him.
He's a nice man.
He's a hairy man.
He's walking around. He's got works of art right out there on his back. What else can you ask for?
It's bushy.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
George W. Bushy.
Right. All right. A quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Why?
Because it's a fun song.
It's just fun.
It makes me think of Pee Wee Herman, doesn't it?
Yeah, 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 yeah. In the bar?
Yeah, that's all I can think of.
Right.
When is Pee Wee's Playhouse coming out? Isn't there going to be a new one?
I know they did a movie. They did another movie, and I have no idea when it's being released, but I'm anxiously awaiting a new Pee Wee Herman movie. I can't wait to see that.
I love
that movie.
It's
got to be sometime this year, because I know they filmed it last year, so it's got to be soon. It's coming.
All right. I'm sorry. Someone has texted us, 773, after talking to Michael Wolff, the hairy man behind Calland Hair,
mm-hmm.
at CallandHair.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 41, haven't shaved my armpits or legs since I was a teenager.
Mm.
I don't see the point. I'm a human being.
I know that what I'm about to ask will sound sexist, but it needs to be asked. Do we know if that's a man or a woman?
Do men typically shave their legs unless they're a swimmer?
Swimmers and bicycle riders do.
Bikers don't.
Bikers rarely shave their legs. I haven't been to every biker event, but I know that it's very few and far between that you get a bunch of guys on Harley shaving their legs together. I'm sure it happens sometimes.
I don't think so. They just shave their ass for the assless chaps that they're wearing.
If it's a special occasion.
Yes.
Yeah.
847 says, I think you should order one of these calendars for Steve Cochran or Roe. Why? I want it for us. I want it for our office.
I think they're inferring that maybe one or both of those.
Inferring, I get it.
Inferring that maybe one or both of them might have an issue like that. I don't know if that's true to you.
Is that what they're implying?
I don't know. That's what it sounds like to me.
Does Roe have back hair? You used to work with him.
Yeah, but he always kept his shirt on when we worked, or usually kept his shirt on when we worked together. Sometimes he wouldn't, and that was weird, but, you know, usually kept it on.
All right. Well, a lot of people wanting to know about the Calland Hair. And honestly, five people have asked the same thing, wanting to know how long it took to regrow in between.
He said it took 4 months, that every time they would shape it into a work of art, it would take him 4 months to regrow it, which is good, because in my head I was like, what if it's a week later he's ready to do a new one? That would be way too fast.
What if his back was like Homer Simpson's face, you know, where he shaves and 2 seconds later,
pop, pop, yeah. Pop. Yeah, he just gets the stubble right back.
I think it's pretty exciting. Michael Wolff with an E. Yeah, I didn't even make the connection of the Wolf.
Yeah, a man that hairy to have the ironic last name of Wolf just seemed like somebody was out to get him almost.
Are you saying that it was destined to be?
Maybe it was destined to be. Right. Maybe when his family came over from some European country and they changed his name, they looked at the grandparents and went, let's go with Wolf. Let's just, based on what I see right now, let's just go with Wolf.
All right. Well, good to know.
Right. I know we've said this like a long time ago. We said we should have some sort of a show that we present to people where we have all these type of guests on. We did it years ago at another station where we brought on some of the stranger guests we had, but Michael Wolff would be the perfect guy to bring out and just show people his back. I wouldn't close with that. That wouldn't be our final act of the evening, but wouldn't that be for a fine evening of entertainment to just have a bunch of that kind of guy on the show?
It would get a lot of oohs and ahs.
I think it would.
And some ewes, too.
Yeah, mostly that. Mostly.
But a very nice guy, and I wish him well.
Yep. Later on at 2:35, Jay Levine is coming by. Jay Levine announced earlier today that he will no longer be a reporter for you for the news here at Channel 2. You and I say that that can't happen. We need to talk Jay Levine out of that. So he's going to come up at 2:35, and we will do our best to convince him to stay in the business.
And if he heard that last interview, he'll be very quick to get out
of the
business.
He'll be done. He will quit. All right, a quick break and then some news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. The ink is black. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN, 312-981-7200. This is the Three Dog Night.
Three Dog Night, you know what Three Dog Night means?
It has something to do with chivalry, doesn't it?
Nope. It has something to do with shivering.
Shivering.
And if it was a Three Dog Night and you lived in the Arctic, you would get your snow dogs to lay on top of you, and a three-dog night meant it was really cold because you'd need three of your dogs to help keep you warm.
I didn't know any of that. Thank you for that. Did you learn that at one of Tom Skilling's mixers? I know he has those mixers from time to time.
No.
You share fun stories from the world of weather.
No, I like to pride myself on knowing a lot of rock and roll trivia.
That's
for what reason, I don't know.
Well,
but
you have your own radio show. It came in handy. Let me tell you about a website that the proprietor of this website is kind of under fire because people say that it is racist, and I will explain the parameters of it, and then you tell me if you think it is or is not racist. Where White People Meet is the name of the online dating service. That particular site, Where White People Meet, caters to white people who want to date other white people. So it's a dating service, much like many of the other dating services that are out there. There's hundreds of dating services. This particular one is called Where White People Meet. If you're a white person and you want to meet another white person, that would be one of your possibilities.
I guess it could be construed as racist because it involves race. But is it negative? If I know I'm looking for a brunette,
right?
I would like to go to a website like nonblondes.com.
Right. I get that. But doesn't it just by the name and by the structure of the site, doesn't it seem like it's leaving out? I mean, we now live in a world where you can't leave people out of anything. So this is just saying, hey, white people, come on in. Hey, people who are not white, stay away. This is not for you. Doesn't it seem like it's kind of just saying as clear as could possibly be, this is for one very specific group of people and everybody else, go elsewhere. We'll have nothing to do with you.
Isn't there a Jewish dating site called J-Date?
There is J-Date, but you can be non-Jewish and be on J-Date. There are people who, if they're not Jewish, but they have a certain proclivity toward Jewish people, can go on there and find them, and they're not in any way, shape, or form told, this isn't for you. You're still allowed to be on there.
So
there's
no.
That one. You've seen the ads for the one that's for farmers. It's called. Have you ever seen that one?
Is Orion pushing on that one?
I think he owns a share of it.
I love this dating site.
I've seen the commercial for it like 10 or 15 times.
Oh, I think I have too.
And every time I see it, I think it's a joke.
Me
I think
too.
It's a parody. And it's not. It's for people who are in the farming community to find other people in the farming community.
That's because they have very rough hands.
I guess they do.
Because they work so hard.
I guess they do. Here's what Sam Russell says. We want our dating forum to be simple and inexpensive with the ability to connect like-minded people in a non-discriminatory fashion. The website states this. It then explains that anyone can join, too. So I guess it's like J-Date, where you don't have to be Jewish, I guess. And there's a Christian Mingle.
How do you know about all these dating sites?
I don't know.
I know you're half Jewish and half Christian.
Yes, I am. Right down the middle, too, by the way. Do you know how hard it is to get a half yarmulke? It's impossible. The site's founder, Sam Russell, anticipated some backlash from his startup, which is why he told the Washington Post he's not racist. Here's what he says. It's about equal opportunity. The last thing in the world I am is racist. I dated a black woman once.
Oh, here we go. I know a black person.
Don't you find that anytime anyone qualifies it that way, you go, all right, you know a black person. Good. I guess you couldn't possibly be racist to know a black person.
But what if you're a white woman attracted to black men? I wouldn't go on the site.
Right. Right. This would be the wrong place
right.
to go.
And you don't have to go on the site if you feel like it's exclusionary.
But it is exclusionary.
But it's also saying this is what you get. This is what if you are a white person and you want a white person, go on the site.
Right.
If you're a white person and you don't care if it's another white person, then don't go on the site.
What if you had a restaurant and it said right there in the window, there was a sign in the window that says this restaurant is owned by white people. And we cater to white people. If you're a white hungry person, this is a great restaurant. Come on into Whitey's. We've got all kinds of food for white people. That would be terrible, wouldn't
it? Well, there used to be restaurants like that.
Were there?
Yeah.
Well, I know what you mean. A while ago.
Yeah.
They were, okay.
And
I get
in the
that.
South. And
right.
Yes.
Right.
I think that's disgusting, but that is not letting someone eat at a restaurant. This is there are so many dating sites. You can choose which one you want.
But isn't this kind of a 21st century way? Isn't that a version of that? Isn't it sort of the same thing?
No, because I would look at it and go, God, I wouldn't go to this place. What if people with big noses wanted to meet people with big noses? Would you go to Carl Malden
date? Schnozdate.com? I've been on schnozdate.com. They have a very nice clientele.
But in this world of dating sites,
yes,
you know, what if I'm looking for only a tall guy? He's not here. The minute I need Steve Bertrand.
Steve Bertrand?
I'd go to, you know, Steve Date.
Right.
But right. Seriously, it's like if you're looking for someone.
But doesn't it just sound, it sounds a little rough to just hear that it is just for one race, doesn't it? Kind of. You don't think that sounds a little rough? That it's just, if they're point blank saying, and the name of the site again is Where White People Meet. If you heard there was a meeting going on somewhere in your community and it's where white people go, you go, uh-oh.
I think it was a KKK meeting.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it is racist because it is singling out race, but there's also J-Date, as we mentioned, and
yes.
Black People Meet. So how is that any different?
Is there Black People Meet? Is there a site like that? I didn't know that.
That's what this Russell guy says.
Russell.
Okay, Cupid is, you know, anyone from any race, creed, religion, they can join that. And you said with J-Date, you don't have to be Jewish.
You don't have to be.
Now this guy's saying White People Meet, you don't have to be white, which kind of, I don't get.
But the title alone says Where White People Meet. What, if you were not white, why would you, wouldn't, would you?
I'm white and I wouldn't go on that website.
Well, you're also married, so that could also.
All right, maybe that has something to do with it. Mike, what do you think about this?
Well, you were right. There is a site that where black people meet and Jewish people and Christian mingle. I think it's just so you narrow down the searches. If that's what you're into, instead of going through, you know, a bunch of guys that maybe you don't like or they're different, you know, backgrounds, their ethnicity, maybe just narrows it down.
And I've never been on a dating website because they weren't around when I was dating.
Right.
But do you have to put your ethnicity when you register?
But I got one other question.
You didn't answer that.
Pardon?
Do you know the answer to Wendy's question, Mike? When you go to a dating website, do they ask you what race you are or what race you're seeking out? Do they ask you that?
Well, I've never gone on a dating website. I've been married for 22 years.
Good for you. All right, what's your other question, Mike?
Now, years ago, there was an alderman who wanted to join the Black Caucus. He was a white alderman.
Yeah.
He was the alderman of a majority of a black ward. And they denied him joining the Black Caucus. Now, would that not be racist?
Well, that's keeping someone out because of their race, but I don't know. I mean, yes, that's racist, and yes, this website is racist because it's based on race.
Right.
But I don't think it's done in a negative way.
Can something be racist and not be negative?
I don't know.
Well, you also have the NAACP. You have the Hispanic College Fund. Isn't that all racist then against white people?
I don't know.
You're not sure?
I mean, I don't know, Mike. I don't know. Bill, what do you say?
It's each one of these are tricky.
Well, they all involve race, but
negative. They all do. Right.
But I have plenty of black friends and Hispanic friends.
There we go. That's like the disclaimer. That's the disclaimer. Do you have gay friends too?
Pardon?
Do you have gay friends too? Because that's what everyone says. It's like, I'm not a racist.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Friends. I got a gay family member.
Well, awesome. Because a lot of people will feel that they can say, I'm not this. I have a black friend.
Right.
Or I have a Hispanic friend.
Right.
I don't think you are a racist, Mike. I don't think this website is racist.
You're
but
okay
it is,
with all of this.
But it is based on race. So does that make it racist? That's the question I throw out.
Heck, I even like short people.
All right,
we'll hook up with Randy Newman. Thank you so much.
But you know how people sometimes will throw in that disclaimer, like, I can say this, there's a black family who lives three doors away from me. They'll just throw that in like, okay, then if you've got a black family 3 foot. Or I like when people go, I can say, I'm Irish, I can say this.
Exactly.
Irish people are cannibals. There, I'm Irish, I can say that.
Steve, what are you thinking about this?
Well, I think that there are black dating services, Asian dating services, and they all are built around the subject of race. Let's just flip it for a second. Let's say that a person who is on a dating service who decides to go up there after they put their profile on there, and then they must date whoever is their match, irregardless of race. Now, that would be absolutely ludicrous.
Well, you don't have to date them. You have the option, right?
No, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. I know that. Okay.
All right.
That's same thing with that I'm trying to say here is that it is for white people. I don't consider it to be racist. It's that's their preferences. If I was on a general dating site and my preference would be blondes as opposed to brunette white girls. Mm-hmm.
Right, that's what I was saying before, Steve. It's
what difference does it make? Is the reverse, and if you say it's racist, that it's also racist if you turn down a date from someone who matches your profile perfectly. You know, we're getting into eliminating the freedom of choice, and this is ridiculous. I'm sure there was no ill intention meant by this white race. They'd be fools to do it. I mean, they put themselves in the spotlight. But I agree with your previous caller. I remember the alderman who wanted to join the Black Caucus, and that was for political purposes.
Sure, of course.
For well-beings of the black community, and he was eliminated from joining. That truly is racist.
I guess it is.
It is, definitely.
He was only joining as a committee member to help his, the people, the constituents in his community. And that, clear cut.
That would be racist. All right.
Well, thank you for your opinion.
Steve.
We have one more, and this might make a lot of sense. Hey, Kelly.
Hi.
Finally a girl to talk about this.
I've been on the dating sites, too. So.
And can I ask you then, since you have, Kelly, do you put your race down when you're filling out your information?
Well, you put your photo in there, so they kind of know your race. I mean, you can almost always tell. But, yeah, they you do offer a spot to put your race down.
Do they, Kelly, is there any question when you're on a dating site, do they say, will you only date people who are the same race as you? Is that ever asked in any way, in any manner?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Who do you prefer? It asks you who you prefer, things like that. I mean, your Match.com and Harmonies and all that, I mean, basically they are where white people meet, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
the majority of the people on them are white, according to this gentleman who put this where white people meet. And I have to ask you a question, too, Kelly, since you're the expert out of the three of us on dating websites.
My expert was only on it for a little bit.
Was it helpful? Did you meet someone?
It's funny. Actually, the guy I'm dating, I've been friends with forever, and we were a perfect match. We were friends with before we were, and then we ended up dating after it, but we didn't meet up through the website.
That's cool how that happens. I like that.
Yeah,
when friends become something more.
But Kelly, you hopefully. Kelly, you had a comment, though, that you wanted to make that makes some nice sense.
Right. You could do the where white people meet, but you're going to meet all white racists for the most part. It's going to be white racists. It's only going to be white people that only want to date white people. And then when you date them, most of them are going to turn out to be racist.
And explain to you why they only want to be with white people. Right.
Right. I mean, because it's not that I date majority of white people, but I mean, I have dated black people. I don't care. I mean, it doesn't bother me, but you know what I mean? But I don't want to date somebody who only wants to date white people because they're white.
Right. Right.
And that's what that turns into. And same thing for blackpeoplemeet.com too. You don't want to be with those types of people that just promotes racism.
Kelly, we've got a 6-month subscription to Militia Meet. Would you like that? We could send that out to your house.
No? That'd be perfect.
All right.
All right. And because, I mean, it involves this website, Where White People Meet, is based on race. But my thing is, I don't think it's racist.
You don't think in a negative way?
It's not racist. No, I don't think it's racist. And you're going to, I mean, I'm not saying everybody that gets on it's going to be racist. But
you
want to
go to
Match.com if you're going to look for that.
Right. 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 Agreed.
All right. Thanks for making sense out of all of this. And good luck with the new boyfriend.
Thanks, guys.
All
Thanks,
right, have
Kelly.
A good one.
Mm-hmm.
What? You're like a dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, if you want to jump
They're
in
good
on
friends.
This, 312-981-7200, we're trying to determine if the website Where White People Meet could be perceived as racist or not. What are your thoughts? Give us a call or text, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. All right, let me quickly catch you up. Sam Russell has a website. The website is called Where White People Meet. It's an online dating service that caters to, you already guessed this, to white people. If you're a white person and you want to meet another white person, Where White People Meet may be the place for you.
Could you say white one more time?
White. Betty White coming up after 2:30. So then people said, I think this could potentially be considered racist, this website Where White People Meet. Sam Russell says, uh-uh. This is about equal opportunity. The last thing in the world I am is a racist. He then said, I dated a black woman once. I helped raise a young black man. I just believe it's hypocrisy to say that one group can do this, but another cannot. Your thoughts at 312-981-7200.
Hey, Marcellus, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? How are you guys doing today?
Love your show, thanks. By the way. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't. In my opinion, I'm not thinking it's racist, but it certainly involves race. What's the answer here?
Okay. Well, I'm an African American male, so I'll give you the African American perspective.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, basically, I agree with what the other lady earlier. She said. She said that I don't necessarily see it as racist, but you are going to meet mostly racist people, and I'll tell you why. Because I've been on the dating sites like Tinder, I've been on Plenty of Fish, I've been on most of them, and most of them are white people, you know what I'm saying? So it's almost unnecessary to go to somewhere to find just white, because I would say 90% of the people on those sites, maybe more, are white.
Do you know why? I'm wondering why it's mostly white people.
I don't know. I'm just telling you from my experience. Like, all right, so if you were familiar with Tinder, you know,
I'm not.
You swipe left, okay. You swipe right, that's someone you like. You swipe left, that's someone you don't. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of a simple way.
All right.
I mean, I'm swipe most of the people. I would say 9 out of 10 photos are going to be white people. So for you to say, okay, I have to find my own dating site, you know, it's unnecessary. You know, it's just completely. It's like, okay.
So there's no need for a particular where white people meet, but there.
Exactly,
it seems like
offense, white people are everywhere.
Yeah, I know you can't get rid of us.
I say that Marcellus 20 every day. These white people are everywhere.
But I understand now why.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I love, you know, you guys are awesome. You know, we, you know, I've dated white, I've dated Hispanic, I've dated, you know, everyone. I've
sure.
dated black, and it's just like I don't think it's almost unnecessary to have. Now let me tell you about a site called Black People Meet though. To me, that is necessary because there's not enough of us to actually meet. You know, when I'm in the, I when I'm in the all white, I went to Purdue.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm in the, it's a mostly white
sure.
College. You know, so I would sign up for like most black dating sites, you know, just to meet someone of my, because there's not, you know, we made up less than 1% of Purdue, you know, so it's just, I mean, some, you got to separate what's for minorities. And then what's racist?
But Marcellus, can I ask, are the titles of those websites as blatant as Where White People Meet? Does it just say?
It's called blackpeoplemeet.com.
There is a
yeah,
black
people meet.
And I think that's pretty blatant. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, there is a black people meet. But, you know, there's just some. I mean, and think about what the black culture has went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's enough to say, okay, you can have a dating site. I mean,
all right, that's
I mean,
yeah,
that's,
that's something to that. Sure.
What happened to going to bars and meeting people? Is it really that hard to do?
It's not. I would agree with that. I would say that I deleted my Tinder account probably about 3 months, and like I've had so much more success just, you know, meeting people at bars, and because then, like, you know, you might meet someone who says, like, you know, I would have never dated someone who's black, but they meet you. And they love you. So it's just, you know, the whole, at the end of the day, we're arguing over nothing because I would say the bar and, you know, going out to a club or meeting someone at lunch, that's still always going to be the best way.
Yep.
You got to get to know the inner person because I'll bet you 90% of the people put very old, better pictures of themselves up on these sites anyway.
Oh, well, I do. You know, you know.
Marcellus, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
have
no
a great
problem.
Week.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Hope you keep listening. You didn't wish Marcellus a good luck
you
in the new year.
You told me yesterday I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
But for new people that you didn't say it
then
to
I
yesterday,
can still do it?
I think so. Jay
right.
Levine, you can tell
I'm
him.
I'm going to wish him a happy 2016.
And good luck in the
He's
future.
He's going to have one.
Yeah, well, I know. I know he is. All right, we will talk to Jay Levine right after the news. So stay where you are. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Bertrand is going to be very jealous he's not in the studio with us.
We found out earlier today that Jay Levine, the beloved television reporter here in Chicago for 42 plus years, has decided to step down. And when we heard this, we panicked, we screamed, we cried. We put ourselves in the fetal position in the corner of the room and we wouldn't leave.
I don't know. Jay, were you beloved for all 42 years?
Bill, you are the first person to ever use the word beloved.
Oh, come on.
There have been a lot of other words to describe me. Beloved has never been one of them.
And well, Steve Bertrand is up in the newsroom talking to you as well, because he's the one who broke the news to us today during his news.
Yep.
Jay, I don't know. Have you been beloved for 42 years? Were you beloved all 42 years?
I think I'm beloved by my wife, Marianne Childers, sometimes. Maybe by my daughter, Susan, sometimes. But I think that's the extent of it.
Well, many of us.
We love you because you brought us little cupcakes with your face on them.
Yes.
Yeah, you work 42 years in Chicago and you get cupcakes with your face on them.
That's an accomplishment.
It was a nice touch.
All right. First of all, don't do it. We don't want you to retire. Second of all, what would lead you to a decision like this?
Well, it's very simple and very complicated at the same time. My father, who is about to turn 100, taught me a lot of lessons in life and is still teaching me lessons in life today. And the one lesson that he taught me by example was 82 is too late to retire. He worked until he was 82
really?
And didn't have enough time to do the things in full health that he would want to do. Well, he's great today. He's 100%. He's fabulous. I mean, I was just working through a computer problem with him last night.
At 100?
Yeah. And but in thinking about that as over this past year, I said, you know something? Give me some time to do some of the things that I want to do and not have to look at the world through
working
a camera lens
right.
as opposed to my own eyes.
Right.
And so it was a decision I came to. I went to Jeff Kiernan and Marty Wilkie,
the vice president and president
at Channel 2.
Yeah.
And they said, there was a look went over their faces. And I didn't know whether that look was disappointment or relief.
I'm sure it was the first.
And I said, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to step back. I don't want to come in every day.
Yeah.
I'd like to decide, and you help me decide, what are the stories that I could best be a part of?
Yeah.
That I could best contribute. And we'll pick those stories or events or interviews, and then I'll do them.
And you do them on your time.
Whatever is mutually agreed to.
That doesn't seem like the worst thing in the world.
Keeping
that's
your
pretty
feet
good.
Wet a little bit, that's a good idea.
You know something? You talk about beloved. I'll tell you what's beloved. Beloved are the viewers.
Yeah.
Because they bring you back so much love.
Sure.
Directed your way. Well, sure, there are ones that complain about what you do. I had some complaining emails today saying, well, you were never fair to such and such.
Oh, really?
Okay, fine. I respect that. You got to have your opinion just like I have my opinion, although I can't talk about it very much.
No.
On the air especially, although I have.
Yeah.
Leaving them.
Yeah.
That's the...
You're going to miss that.
Yeah, but you know, you're not going to miss that because Marianne Childers, my wife, has not been on television since 2008. Yeah.
We were talking about that earlier because I wondered how long it's been since we last saw her.
And her office is right across the street on the top floor, and she's become a media consultant and strategist and crisis manager. And she's really, really good at it. And we get in a taxi to go somewhere, and the taxi driver will say, Marianne Childers, I saw you on TV last night.
Oh.
As she says, the half-life is very, very long.
I know that you have reported globally. I know you've been to how many countries in your career?
I tried to count the other day, and I stopped at 29. It may be more, but I know for sure 29.
So you've been everywhere.
Operation Iraqi Freedom, were you the only Chicago journalist embedded with troops?
The only TV reporter embedded. I mean, there was somebody from the Tribune that was embedded as well. But it was the only TV reporter. And, I lived with the troops for 6 weeks, digging my own foxholes, sleeping in my own sleeping bag, eating my own MREs. And in fact, I lost 15 pounds during those 6 weeks. And I got back, and Marianne said to me, wow, you gain them back, you're going back.
Talk about being a reporter in this city. What's different about being a reporter than being a reporter anywhere else?
It's the fact that the people, the viewers, your listeners, respect what we do, understand what we do, understand that we're doing it for them, and we're asking the questions that they want to ask. In other cities, L.A. is all glitz, New York is all financial and economic. I mean, Chicago has no real celebrities, and so the reporters become the celebrities.
Yeah.
And so I can't tell you how well we all are treated. I mean, you know that.
Yeah.
You mention your name, and people have heard you on the radio, and they light up.
It is pretty nice. And you know, it becomes a habit for us. Like when you mention your wife, Marianne Childers, hasn't been on the air for a while, we brought that up earlier. It becomes a habit. I do feel like I watched her the other night. And with you not being on a day-to-day basis, I'm going to say, oh, did you see Jay Levine on TV last night? But you won't have been there. It's just all a great memory.
Yeah, it's a good memory.
Yeah.
It's a good memory. I've enjoyed it. And look, here's the test. Can you look at yourself in the mirror the next morning and say, I did a good job?
Yeah.
I was fair. Can you look at your report a year later and say, well, that stood the test of time?
Yeah.
It was not all hype or just a tease. You know, does it work? Does it still work?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I judge it.
We want to talk to you, Jay, about not just your career as a reporter, but about the Friday Night Show that Wendy and I were huge fans of for a while.
Oh my God.
I know we're going back a couple of years.
Oh, my God.
But we want to talk about the Friday Night Show with you in just a little bit. You can stay for a little while.
Sure.
Jay Levine is here. He has announced that he is stepping down. Wendy and I are fighting this tooth and nail. We don't want this to happen. If you want to join in, 312-981-7200.
I want to let it happen now because you made sense of it. You want to enjoy the rest of your life. And you'll still be keeping your toes wet?
Yep. We'll find ways to work you into
things. I'm not talking him into it. He seems happy.
He seems very serene. All right. More with Jay Levine coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Jay Levine is here from Channel 2, CBS 2. He announced earlier today that he is stepping down. He will not be a reporter anymore on a regular basis for Channel 2. We've talked a little bit about that aspect of your career, but let's talk about that Friday night talk show that we loved so much for a while. Wasn't on long enough. How did that Friday night show come to be?
It came to be when Steve Edwards left Chicago from Channel 7 to go to L.A. to strike out for fame and fortune out there. And they were looking for somebody to fill in. And somebody said to me, well, and this was just a couple of years before Oprah was to come here. Well, I think you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I'll try. And so we tried it. And the variety of guests that we had, you know, they were household names. I mean, I get to interview Cheryl Teagues. Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, I get to interview all these stars and starlets and also book authors and things. You know, it was one of the first of the talk shows.
What was it called? Was it just Friday Night?
It was first called Friday Night. And then when they realized that I was going to stick around, it was Friday Night with Jay Levine.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you the episode that meant the most to me, and I watched it very close up, was with you and Farrah Fawcett. Remember that?
That's another name that I was going to mention.
Yeah. Right.
She was lovely.
Cheryl Teagues, Farrah Fawcett,
Raquel Welch,
the Ramones.
Every babe I wanted to meet was there.
And Joey Ramone.
Come on.
Was this J-Date? This was the original J-Date, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, it was kind of a chaste form of date, but, you know, but whatever. It was a lot. It was fun, but... And, you know, we can talk more about it, but back then in my career was coming to kind of a crossroads and I had to make a decision. Did I want to be a serious news anchor or chief correspondent? Or did I want to spend my life talking about how cocaine improves your sex life?
And
that might have been more lucrative, but I chose to go the news route and I said, okay, I can't do this anymore. But man, was it fun.
But it's a testament to how good you are that the same guy could be very convincing talking to Cheryl Teagues about being a supermodel and then do all the reports you've done from all over the globe. Not everyone could do that.
Well, it's a test of how shallow I was, I guess.
Maybe.
And what was the competition like between you and Marianne Childers, your wife at home, both being news reporters and anchors?
Never really was any competition. I mean, Marianne was the best at what she did and is still the best female anchor ever in the city of Chicago.
She's good.
She's
absolutely
great.
Believe that, and it's not because I'm married to her.
Yeah.
So she had her sphere.
Yeah.
And I had mine as a correspondent. Now we anchored together for a couple of years on the morning at CBS2. And that was kind of interesting. But that was
okay. We'll take that to mean kind of interesting.
You know, there's the joke that goes around about an anchor team. All you need to do is give them one script and a knife. But in our case, I mean, because we were married and we loved each other and still do, we had each other's backs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was a fun thing and we kind of worked things out and figure out the night before, okay, we want to do this and we had to do interviews. There was nothing territorial about it because we were both invested. You know, it's kind of like you'd like to have it with Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler.
Right.
You'd like to have them feeding off each other as
right.
opposed to being in competition with each other. It'll make a better team.
Yeah.
And so we had a lot of fun doing it. That was good. And that was the only time we ever did the same thing.
Wendy made fun of me earlier, Jay, because there was a night many, many years ago in a restaurant called Lindo Mexico that my wife and I sat at a table next to the two of you, and all I could do is just stare at the two of you because you guys were really famous, and I didn't want to disrupt you, but all I did was just kind of gaze upon the two of you.
I loved Lindo Mexico.
You know the restaurant, sure.
They had the best queso fundido of anywhere.
Yes.
Do you go chorizo with it or not?
I like chorizo with it. Yeah, it's probably not traditional, but I do like chorizo with it.
That could have been my end.
I may have it tonight.
I could have come to your table and we could have talked chorizo. That would have been magnificent.
Why didn't you say hello?
All I could do was, you know this, I saw you guys on TV every night and then you were at the next table and all I could do was just stare at you guys.
You know,
and if you stopped talking, I'd switch the pretend channel to see what was on other channels.
People are nice. People are nice. People are nice. And even the people come up to you in restaurants. That's fine.
To say hello. I mean, don't sit at their table with them.
The only problem ever.
Yeah.
Is when people are drunk and they say, watch me insult a celebrity.
Oh, no. You've had that?
So that's happened from time to time.
That's not good.
But not often. Not
that's
often.
Terrible.
People are great. Should have said hello. I'm sorry you didn't.
If I had to go back in time, I would say hello. The news cycle, as you know, is now 24 hours. There are entire networks devoted to nothing but news. Is the news better now because of that, or is the news not as good because of that?
Well, I think in some places it's better. But in some of the marginal news carriers, whether it's the guy in his basement in his underwear writing a blog and just making up stuff as he goes along,
yeah,
that we all have to deal with because people read it and they don't know that it's a guy in his basement,
right,
in his underwear. They think, okay, it's on the internet, so it's real.
Right.
You know, we're more competitive. We have to be more immediate because if something happens at 10 in the morning, by 10 at night, everybody knows about it. So what are you going to do?
And that's where Twitter really is helpful. I remember when Michael Jackson died, that's where I heard it first. There's so much immediacy. Did you use social media to help with some of the stories?
Yeah, well, you use it because you want to get your story out.
Yeah.
I mean, I use Twitter and I'll tweet about stories that I'm going to do that night as long as I don't give away proprietary information,
sure,
that I don't think anybody else has unless it's too late for them to get it. You got to be careful about that.
Boy, you do. A lot to think about.
But what about this, Jay? People, we've had topics like there will be a shooting somewhere and we'll talk about it on the show. And then people say, well, you know who I blame is? I blame the media because if you guys would stop reporting on it, maybe this sort of thing would stop happening. That's not how it works, is it?
No, I don't think so. And the same people blame us for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That Donald Trump wouldn't be anything unless you were, well, we got to cover Donald Trump because it's news.
Right.
I mean, the fact
is. Do you ignore
it? Right, exactly. I mean, look, I've been in Chicago for 42 years, and I remember doing gang wars in Chicago and murder rates in Chicago even back then. I mean, I don't like the tally that you hear every morning or every weekend. Okay, in Chicago overnight, three people were shot. It's a scorecard. I don't like the scorecard.
Yeah.
You want to tell me about people. You want to tell me about tragic stories, but don't give me a scorecard. And that's done because it's the easy way of doing things because radio stations, newspapers, and television stations alike have cut staff.
Right.
And so you don't have time to do the real. Some people don't have time to do the real stories, so they just take the easy way out. And doing scorecards like that is the easy way out.
You do get that every Monday morning. How many deaths over the weekend? How many mayors have you been here through?
Eight.
Eight mayors.
Eight different mayors.
Not
I started with
John
Richard
Mayer,
J. Daly,
who performed in town while you were
that would be nine.
Right. Yeah. So eight mayors.
Do you have a favorite that you want to talk about?
You know, Harold Washington always had a special place in my heart because I think he made history. I mean, I think the election of Harold Washington was something that in 1983 was something that astounded Chicagoans. My goodness, the most segregated city in America elects an African-American mayor. And it said something about Chicago. It said something that maybe we were growing up. And then Rahm Emanuel gets elected the first time.
Yeah.
And he carries every black ward in the city.
Yeah.
And I say to myself, I said it on the air, maybe we are past racial politics in Chicago.
Are we?
No.
Well, thanks. We're not.
Sadly, no. But you know, Harold Washington was very, very special. I mean, I got to know him. I've gotten to know all of them very, very well.
Was it more astounding to you that Chicago elected a black mayor, or that the country elected a black president? Which is the more astounding story? Do you think?
I think a black president.
Yeah.
I got to admit to you that night in Grant Park.
Yeah.
Covering that, there were tears in my eyes because it was such a momentous occasion. it was such a huge step.
Yeah.
And because I think that, that there was so much, it made the, it, there was so much hope in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Was it misplaced hope, do you think?
I think many, many people are disappointed.
Yeah.
In how it's turned out 7 years later.
Yeah.
But I think it was a milestone. And now, just like when John F. Kennedy was elected, it'll never be an issue to elect a Roman Catholic president.
Right.
Now, it'll never be an issue to elect an African-American president.
Got to go for the woman, and I don't know when that's going to happen. Might be soon?
Could be very soon.
Might not be.
Well, I think it's inevitable, don't you?
Looks like
we
it.
We think so. But
I don't know, Trump.
He's gotten a lot further than any of
us
would have anticipated.
It's the media's fault.
It is the media's fault.
I guess off the record, but on the record.
Yeah.
I think Hillary ought to be financing his campaign.
Oh, yeah. Because if that's who she's running against, how can she not win? But
I don't know. You don't know.
There's a lot of variables that don't make sense in this election, this upcoming election.
Like every time Donald Trump does something crazy, the numbers in the polls go up. Then he says something nice about Barack Obama, and he even admits, numbers are going to go down now.
It's still way too early.
Right.
You got to wait until the primaries, because the minute a frontrunner loses a primary, then questions start to arise. There's the thought that, well, maybe he or she is not invincible anymore.
Right.
And wasn't Hillary the overwhelming front runner over Barack Obama?
Absolutely.
Until she lost the primary?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I wouldn't jump to any conclusion about who the nominee is going to be.
Jay, we know you're doing this for all the right reasons, but despite that, Wendy's going to miss you, I'm going to miss you, and a whole lot of people who have watched you and loved you over the years are going to miss you. So thank you for everything you've done, and thank you for being here today.